The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who's got the wiener schnitzel? Let's see, next we got roast beef au jus. Who's got the roast beef au jus? Last but not least, footlong. Who's got the footlong?
PFW in Progress.
Okay, gang, you know the rules. No humping, no pushing, no sniffing hiding.
With Fred Kirsch.
Wool, host, annual, host.
Annual
meeting of
the big one, International Preservation Society, tomorrow night.
Paul Perillo.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Don't you go dying on me.
And Andy. And Andy?
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
I beg your pardon?
The owls, they're beautiful.
Andy Hart.
Must have been following us for weeks.
Why is that?
How the hell did they know that I got gas?
Eric Scalavino.
I can't feel my big fingers anymore. They're numb.
Maybe you should wear these extra gloves. My hands are starting to get sweaty.
Extra gloves? You've had this pair of extra gloves this whole time?
Yeah. We're in the Rockies.
For now, anyway.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah! PFW in Progress.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys!
Fellas, if we could listen to the radio or something.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang is all here, even Eric, because it's bye week and...
A rare treat.
He doesn't have any other duties, so... Paul's here.
He said duty.
Eric's here. Andy's here. Matt is in the booth because Kevin's not here.
Good.
So we really upgraded today. And we'll be here until...
Big time.
We'll be here until 2 o'clock taking your calls and emails and talking everything Patriots. It is the bye, but there's still tons to talk about, not just right here in Gillette, but going around in the league. Actually, it's a bad slate of games today, this week, I think.
I didn't really notice.
Yeah,
I wasn't really paying much attention.
It's crappy games.
That's good because I have some things to do on Sunday. I don't think I'm going to get to watch a whole
lot. Tough ones to pick, too, I thought.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah. Anyway, we'll be here until 2-508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Kicking off a big day of Patriots.com radio. Of course, John Rook will be here at 2.
Did you guys get lunch?
And then Pete Shepard at 4.
I believe so.
Yep. Sorry, Eric. If I forgot.
No, no.
Sorry about that.
I always bring my own. So sorry.
They have lunch at CVS now. You get your lunch at CVS.
Yeah.
You have a CVS bag with your lunch in it.
Right. Yeah,
they do. It's a lot of food in there. It looks
No, it's not really.
What do you got in there?
It's all different compartments.
You're not even going to tell me what
his
you're
oil
eating.
That he
you know
dips
what
his bread
this
in.
This has to be a mystery.
You're not right.
Tell him what I bring all the time.
He has a little Tupperware,
a Tupperware full of oil, some lettuce,
some bread.
What are you, a rabbit?
There you go.
Salad.
That's it.
That's what he eats. What do you think he's so thin for?
I guess so. He swims.
I do.
We were in.
He swims.
We were in Santa Clara. They had that was a
was
Olympic size.
No, it was about a half Olympic size.
The lane wasn't Olympic size.
No, it was about half.
Okay. But he was swimming in.
What's the matter with you today?
Is this the outdoor pool?
Yeah,
at the hotel,
one in Santa Clara.
The same hotel.
Yeah.
No socks was very
with
impressed.
The bad dinner, with the bad restaurant.
Like, look
that's
at him
expensive.
Go. It's like a fish.
It wasn't that bad.
I don't
going
care.
Going
back
that,
and forth.
That gave me diarrhea.
So.
Yeah, but that everything gives you diarrhea.
Not everything. That place was really bad.
What?
The restaurant. That
the
hotel.
The sports bar
expensive and made me sick.
Oh, it was
the sports
very,
bar.
It was very mean. Expensive.
Yeah.
Well, everything in that town is expensive.
Yeah.
I had no problem with the food, but it was very expensive.
Yeah.
No,
that was a good pool, though.
Yeah. Expensive to the point where it wasn't really worth going back.
Oh, yeah. And there was a ground round or something across the street.
We found something that was reasonably close that we went to.
Some little chain.
All right. Well, guys, what's going on?
Jets-Chargers, big game of the week.
Well, we want to get to that.
War of words. By the way, you know what? He's a loudmouth. He's a loudmouth, and a lot of times all of us sort of like and laugh about. That's a colossally dumb thing that he said.
Even he knew
it. To the point where he had a call.
To the point that he knew as soon as it came out of his mouth. That's not what I, that's not what I meant.
So why didn't that's being a jackass.
Why didn't he just correct himself right then and there?
Stupid.
It's always tremendous when you can disrespect your team and the other team at once.
I mean, in the span of an hour, he let the press conference call North
Turner. We're, of course, talking about Rex Ryan.
Right.
Yes. So why doesn't somebody fill, in case some of our listeners don't know exactly what you're talking about, fill them in.
Rex Ryan interviewed for the Chargers job in 2007 that eventually went to Norv Turner. On the conference call, the weekly conference calls that all coaches do back and forth with the opposing media, he was asked what would have happened had he gotten that job, and he said, I'd have a couple rings by now. I'd already have a couple rings.
D-U-M-dumb.
Then he went on to say, you know, that team was stacked or something.
Yes.
So, immediately, he's taking a shot at Norv Turner, who has yet to win a ring with a stacked team, and he's making it about him. Because, oh, I would have won with that team, but this team that I'm on now, I predict, is the... I mean, it's all about him. He's the show. And
he took a shot at so many different people without trying. And I really believe that he was not really intending.
His mouth gets ahead of him.
Just got caught.
His mouth writes checks that he can't cash. Absolutely. But he called Norv Turner to apologize. Norv didn't even really know about it at the time. Then later,
just to let you know.
And when he saw the quote, he said, I wonder if he keeps those rings with the ones he's guaranteed the last couple of years. So took a nice little shot back at him. And, you know, again, Ryan, he's just dumb. He keeps talking.
All this stuff is fun and games, but if they don't keep winning, it's really going to be a problem.
Right.
And I remember, you know.
But even when you win, comments like this are a problem.
Well, sure. That one
took,
is.
He took shots at San Diego. He took shots at the Jets.
Yeah.
He took shots at his own team.
Right.
In other words, they're a lot better than you.
Right. Right.
If I had gone there, I would have won the rings that I've been guaranteeing.
Right.
Just really bad. Normally I back the guy. I think he's entertaining. This was really, really dumb.
Yeah. So did any of the reporters say anything when he said that, or did they just kind of?
I don't know exactly at
the
time.
Go yourself,
yeah.
San Diego.
I wonder if reporters actually listen to answers.
Some do.
Well, they all tweeted it out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but like. You know, Rex, do you mean that to say that, you know...
Well, not a lot of reporters follow up because they don't... They're afraid of either getting yelled back at or... I don't know what their problem is, but, you know, they work for the team.
I got to be honest with you. If he had said that to a question I asked, I wouldn't have given him a chance to clarify it. I would
have
to
write the clarification.
Exactly. Because I see...
Not
like,
necessarily you, but somebody else might have said, oh, that's worth following up on.
There were a couple of guys
Ian
that
Rappaport
tweeted
would have been perfect because he would have said,
wait, what? there were a couple... Sorry. All right, listen. I thought there were a couple of...
He's been too eager to...
Pussified?
Yeah.
He's like the NFL, pussified.
Too eager.
Just because I'm a good guy? Yeah. Now I have to get called names?
I don't think anybody called you a good
guy. Because someone asked me specifically to tone it down?
I didn't call him a name. And he's well known for saying, wait, what?
And links.
He tweets it 20 times a day.
And links.
Well, so that was kind of the war of words going on yesterday. It was
It continued today. Cromartie saying, you know, I was done there. And then he was asked about Weddle, which I really like because I agree with him. Oh, that's their golden boy. Well, right. It is. That's why they give him $40 million despite the fact that he sucks. Clearly, it's their golden boy. Right. I like that. But this could be a game where there might be a little extra... antics after the whistle and
that
pushing
can't be worth
in. Why
is that a 1 o'clock game?
That's a good game.
Is that a 1 o'clock game?
No,
can't be right. Oh, it's here.
It's at the Jets.
Yeah, Jets only play at home this year,
except when they came here a couple
right,
weeks ago.
Right.
Except when they played on the
he
road.
He was ready to say
except
something.
Except for the 3-game road trip that they lost all three on.
Yeah,
yeah. Can you imagine if that was us?
Well, what they have, like 2 at home, 3 on the road, then now 2 at home or something like that. It's a weird schedule.
So they'll have played 7 games, 4 at home and 3 on the road.
As Paul Bill, likes I realize, to say. I'm making a joke. But you can't joke about the beloved Jets.
Beloved, I've been ripping them for however long we've been on the show. That's a colossally stupid thing to say.
Brilliant! Brilliant!
And he took a shot at his... See, I'm more concerned if I'm a Jet. He took a shot at... If I'm a Jet fan, he took a shot at my team.
Right.
I don't care if North Turner's nose is bent out of joint. But he's telling his own players, you're not as good... If I had that talent, I would have won these Super Bowls.
But it just goes to show that it is all about him. It really is. It's all about him.
Even when he says it isn't.
Right.
Even with the whole, they get the better coach, they get the quarterback, blah, blah, blah.
You just have to be smart enough not to say it.
You know, so
everybody thinks it.
So
you
I don't
can't
know,
say it.
I don't know if it was last year or the year before. It was one of those Hard Knocks, I think, and they had Woody Johnson preseason on the sideline with Rex Ryan. And, you know, they had been winning or something. And he said, I don't know what you're doing, but just keep doing it. Keep doing whatever you're doing. That
right.
He'll change his mind soon if
they lose.
Yeah.
If they win, he won't.
Or if he keeps, you know, saying things that insult his own players.
I think they'll be fine if they win the Super Bowl. As long as they're collecting their Super Bowl ring, they're fine.
Yeah.
If they win the Super Bowl,
that's
sure.
a big if.
Yeah. Their team's not good enough to do that.
No, they're not. They're not at all. But I think winning can cover up almost anything. Almost anything.
Elsewhere in the NFL, I'm going to be interested to see Tim Tebow in his first start.
Yep, he's on television right now.
But, you know, it's just like, you know, the NFL, well, not the NFL, but that team, the week before he gets his first start, they trade away their best receiver.
It's a man keeping him down, right?
Right, exactly. You know?
Yeah. Now he might go 0-10 instead of 4-10.
You know, so his best weapon gets, or, you know, potential best weapon gets traded away.
Maybe they
away.
Decided we have a quarterback who can't get the ball to this receiver. Why keep him?
Who dislocated his shoulder making a one-handed catch.
You guys will see.
If he's that bad, why not just keep Orton in there?
Well, because he stinks. Right, he stinks.
Oh, no!
But if Tebow's I don't think Tebow's better than Orton. If you're asking me if I think Tebow's better
Tebow's
than Orton,
as bad as him, then why bother making a change?
Because you already know that one guy can't play. You don't know about the
So why are you guys ripping him for sucking before you've seen him happen?
I don't know any more than they do.
You are convinced but they have he no, will suck.
They have no choice. One guy has lost 30-something out of his last 40-something starts.
Yeah.
So you're just going to keep playing him?
But he's still better than the other guy.
My personal opinion is that, but that doesn't mean I know more than anybody else. Okay. I would not be continuing to play Orton. He can't play.
There is a possibility Tebow could come out and be better than Orton.
There's a possibility for anything. There's a possibility he could come out and be better than Brady, too. Do you think that's going to happen?
Now, don't be Andy in this argument.
Well,
hey,
I mean,
what's wrong with being Andy?
Plenty.
It is what it is.
You know, don't make a nonsensical statement to, you know.
I think it's nonsensical to think he's going to be better than Kyle Orton.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't see why you have such venom for the guy.
I don't have venom for him. I don't think he can play. I don't know why you can't separate the two. I know for you it's hard.
You guys are making
just turn your mic on. Just turn your mic on.
See, I've yet to see evidence one way or the other.
Well,
but
have you watched him? Have you watched him throw the ball at all?
I know he's competitive.
I don't know why you haven't seen evidence.
I know he's a leader. I know he's athletic.
Well, we have side conversations on the show all the time. You know.
Yeah,
but we don't really like him.
He's not your standard pocket passer.
And we don't really even know she's here.
He's a little unorthodox. But
stop whispering, Lindsay. You got something to say? Say it in the mic.
I think he can win in the NFL. Lindsay Petrucci's here. What's up?
I just need to hijack the show during the
hijack.
Hijack. What are you?
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everybody, and welcome.
To Toyotas.
I want to see what's in Eric's little vitamin pack here.
His little
what? Right, we got a Ricola.
Because he'd be happy to show you what's in his little.
Okay. All right.
You should know. I got a little wiener.
Horrible.
It's packed full of protein.
It looks like some fish oil.
That's one.
Oh, you're taking the fish oil?
Yeah.
Good.
What's this? What's the dark one?
Flaxseed.
Flaxseed.
Hey, Barry Bonds took that and it worked.
That was another one. Did you see that, by the way?
What's the little blue one?
That looks like it's been there forever and never been used.
What are you guys talking about today?
Viagra.
No,
you're not.
No,
we're talking about the Jets and the Chargers.
So does that matter?
Let me ask you a question.
Here are the headphones.
Can I have some?
Do you think Tim Tebow has any chance of being a successful quarterback in the NFL?
Here, my only thing with that is no one gave Cam Newton any shot
that's
in
a good
hell,
point.
Okay?
That's a good point. Especially you and me, Andy.
Well, I mean, who knows these
But
days?
It had nothing to do with physical tools.
One can throw,
I
one can't.
I thought he was a dink.
Yeah, one can
and
throw, and
one can. And
I could
still be proven he's a dink.
Right, but
everyone knew he could throw.
So you're saying, and by the way, Fred, if Tim Tebow
can't throw at all, can't be taught to throw, is what you're saying.
Yes, he doesn't throw, can't throw, won't throw, never throw.
If Tim Tebow loses all his games but performs like Cam Newton, I will say I'm wrong. It won't be about.
I know you.
It's not about win. No, what I'm saying.
What's that supposed to mean? What's that supposed to mean? I heard that.
He's a bigger man than you.
Because you won't
obviously.
Because you won't say it.
Goes about.
But what I'm saying is, if he goes out and loses 5 out of 6 games, I won't say, "See, I told you."
Right.
Because it's a bad team. He's probably not going to win his games. But you can tell. You can watch and see if the guy can play quarterback.
Right.
Cam Newton is 1-5 right now. He knows what he has something going on.
He can play a little bit.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know
There was no doubt about he can throw the football.
There was no doubt about his physical gifts. Yeah. None. There's doubts about Tebow's physical
gifts. It's the exact
gifts.
Opposite, actually. They're two halves of the
right,
perfect
if you could
puzzle.
Put Tebow's right. personality in
exactly.
Cam Newton's body, you'd have the perfect quarterback.
Exactly. And I'm not saying that Tim Tebow can't. It's my opinion that he won't. I'm not saying he can't succeed.
I am.
Okay,
he
you
can't.
Guys are making
I don't
fun
think
of
he
me.
Will.
You're making fun of me for saying vitamin pack, and now you're saying physical gifts?
Oh, wow. I mean, you don't
have
to take it to the gutter.
I've
never
even Andy would
that.
Never do that. If you're throwing the word package in there, Andy
right.
would giggle.
Andy would totally
assets, maybe.
Assets, package, use the word Richard in any way, shape, or form.
Whoa. Wait. Lamar Woodley, I'm prepping for the Steelers game, your team.
That was
Steelers.
A softball.
Oh, you must be very excited.
Yeah. Yes. She can go to Pimenti Brothers or whatever it's called.
Pimenti.
Worst
Pimenti.
Ever.
It's Permanny.
They were on TV the other night on one of the shows I saw.
Worst ever.
But wait, what?
Lamar Woodley won back-to-back Richard Catcher Awards at Michigan. You're going to tell me that's not funny, Richard Catcher?
It's not funny.
Dick Catcher?
It stopped being funny in fourth grade.
That's yeah. No, it didn't. No,
yes,
actually,
it, did.
It didn't. It's very funny. That
it's
is
not.
Humorous.
It's really not.
Yes,
funny.
It is.
Now,
it's really
listen,
first of all,
listen.
You have no idea what funny is.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
You
because
had a
if
joke
anybody
that
would have agreed with you,
in 5 years.
If anybody would have agreed with you, it would have been Fred because
no.
he definitely,
no.
definitely
Andy, how
takes
many,
it to that
how
level.
How many times do you normally get shut down during the radio show during like on a Tuesday or Thursday?
He's like
I
the sprinkler. Look, he's like a sprinkler offense right now. He looks at Fred. He looks over at me. Now he needs
shut down.
What do you got?
Yeah.
I
win. Yeah.
What?
You win? You're
he
winning?
Thinks because he
yes.
talks louder and faster
winning.
To people that he wins arguments.
No, I'm winning because I win. It's
no,
the bottom line.
Can I bring something up?
Right, why are you hijacking the show?
Well,
are you talking about All Access?
No, I just want to come say hi. And I think you guys will really enjoy this. I unintentionally woke up Kevin Collins by calling him on his day off today.
Well, I called him too because he forgot to leave the radio on last night.
Oh.
So we had dead air all night.
Oh my God!
That's horrible.
Yeah.
He's terrible.
You know what we need is a sign. You know those signs like
it.
It's been X number of days since there was a workplace injury. We
right.
need an X number of days since he is effed up. It's every day.
It was like the turd watch.
Yes, a Kevin Collins
the turd
watch
on Florio.
He's useless.
That's why we love him. The other thing we were talking
Who's
about.
Who's yourself?
Who's we?
You have a mouse in your pocket? Or hiding in your large belly button?
The other
hiding in the chest hair that's coming out of the top button
it's
there.
Like, you know.
The other thing we were talking about, Lindsay, was Rex Ryan. Did you hear about that?
No.
Okay.
About what part of it?
He said if he had been
he interviewed for the Chargers job a few years ago.
Oh.
And didn't get it, and they gave it to North Turner.
And he said if he had that team, he would have had a couple Super Bowl rings by now, which is an insult to the current coach there. You know why didn't? In other
but
words,
isn't it weird though that like. I'm making too many connections that aren't there, I think. I was going to say because Schottenheimer was the coach before him.
Yeah.
And then, but
Norv's a choker. Yeah.
No, I Rex Ryan.
I just think Norv's a bad coach. I'm not sure he's a choker. I think Schottenheimer's
a good coach
who chokes.
I think Norv's a good coach, but he chokes when it counts the most.
Yeah, I don't think he's a good
coach. They have slow starts.
I think he wins with talent in the regular season,
but
and then when it matters.
But doesn't Schottenheimer's son work for the Jets?
Correct.
He does.
Brian
right.
Schottenheimer is the offensive
That's
coordinator.
Yeah. That's why I said maybe it's a reach there. I'm trying to make too many connections.
But yeah.
How different was the team when Marty Schottenheimer was there and Norv Turner was there? How different was it? Because
no. all Rex is saying is that if he had those players, he would have won Super Bowl.
He's saying the old, you give
right.
me his ins and I'll beat your ins
right.
and your ins and I'll beat
and
his ins.
Norv Turner's been the coach the whole time.
Yeah.
And they haven't won a Super Bowl.
So
they haven't even gotten
to
close.
Norv Turner.
Right.
But it's also an insult to Rex's own team because
right.
he's saying that
they're
team's
better.
more talented than the one I have because I've been in New York and I haven't won any
That's
Super
right.
Bowl.
Jeez, coach, how are we going to win this
but
game?
Anything,
they're better than us.
I mean, I just think anything he says, you can't. I mean, he
right.
can't
Even
take
the
him
next
too seriously.
Did you hear like the yeah.
he bloviates?
Can we say can
what does
we
that mean?
Good word.
It sounds like a good word. What does it mean?
It just seems you know expounds and yeah. blah blah.
Ask, we
you
say
know.
That all the time.
He talks out
he's
of
an
his
ass.
He talks out of his ass constantly. So
can we say ass?
I was like, can we say it?
But the best part is they just continue to.
Sometime and they're like, oh, you pulled.
They asked about it while they're on the radio. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Swearing is called
swearing is a Fred.
And then they're like, oh, you pulled.
I mean, let's call it swearing.
On this.
You're not the only one. You're just the one who's done it most often.
I remember now. I remember now.
I swear during the bobblehead head show.
Maybe you should give Eric. You can't have many conversations.
Listen, Fred.
One person.
Fred, the sexual
time.
Tension between Eric and Lindsay is really starting to become
oh
a distraction
gosh,
of the show.
The lesbian sexual
it's
tension.
It's getting so hot in here.
I am.
Take off my sweater.
I'm a male lesbian.
When the girls start having girl talk, it's really uncomfortable.
Fred, something that I want to bring up. I know obviously New Englanders do not like the Ryan brothers, but I find it kind of crazy that Rob Ryan doesn't have a head coaching job somewhere.
He will soon. Yeah.
Where do you think it will be?
You know what?
Might be in Dallas
when he gets a haircut. Yeah. I mean, do you really want that guy representing your team?
I think
he'll get one.
If he wins,
He looks a little sloppy, but
he does look sloppy.
I think he's more reserved than Rex, and Rex got a job.
Yeah. I agree. I think just because I mean Rex has the wild personality.
I think you're just going by the hair.
Rob has the wild hair. Who would you rather have?
Didn't he originally do that for a reason? Like a cancer reason, one of those deals.
Oh, did he? Oh,
how long is he waiting to cut it then?
Right. I think he's cut it a few times. That's what I'm saying.
Really?
Now, I don't
know.
It's
a lot of different colors.
I mean, it's a lot of gray in there.
Gray,
I don't know.
Light brown, a lot of things going on.
But I know what Fred's point is.
Long hair. And I shouldn't have long hair.
I mean, he would have to be, he would have to be the clear cut.
He needs to throw some mousse in there, maybe a little hairspray, some styling
products. Cut it. He just needs to cut it.
Have you guys talked about, I'm sure you have, but.
He looks like
he deteriorates into talking about the color of the guy's hair.
All right.
What have you done with him? He usually contributes to this show.
He wants to talk about Scrabulous, how good he was at Scrabble.
What do you mean was? I mean, nobody
I'm
beats
so
me.
So good at Scrabble. I played Scrabulous.
She beat me once.
Yeah, I beat you too, Andy.
I know, but I didn't.
You
say
probably
him.
Beat him all the
I
time.
I didn't say no one beats me. He just said no one beats me, and you beat him.
I missed that.
I win 9 games out of 10 in this thing all the time. But she beat you.
She did beat me
on one of those.
Guys,
and Cassie beat you, so you can't beat girls.
One of those 10.
No,
women.
I've destroyed Cassie in the last 3 games we've played. I've embarrassed her.
Have you guys already talked about the Schwartz and the whole? I'm sure you have, but the head coaching fight and all that.
Oh sure. Oh yeah. What's your take on that, Lindsay? Because we don't get to talk to you a lot.
I mean, I just think it's being blown like way out of proportion. There's a lot of people that think there should have been some type of like fine or
I was surprised there wasn't actually.
They should have been reprimanded somehow, but I mean
it's kind of a double standard to me.
I mean,
that they go after the players for these things and then the coaches get I know there weren't any punches actually thrown. But it was clearly a confrontation.
Sure.
And there was
and
clearly
the coaches be at a higher standard. I mean, you're
right?
the
you would
right.
think so.
The PR guy from was it the Niners or the Lions had to jump in the middle and break the thing up.
It shouldn't happen. It's not a question that it shouldn't happen.
That's when Schwartz decided to get physical. As soon as that guy got in between.
But you know,
Everett tough guy.
I really think
not an Everett tough guy.
I really think whether it's Jim Harbaugh or anyone, you know, as excited as you are about a win for 10 seconds. You know, you're in the face of a guy you just beat. So you know how bad he feels because everybody's been on that side.
Well, that's the thing,
Fred. Just for 10 seconds, good game, and then go celebrate.
That's the thing, though.
You don't have to be in his face like that.
They have some history. They coached on a staff together and supposedly didn't get along. So there's part of that element to it. Maybe if it was another coach, maybe he would have done that. Maybe because it was somebody that he didn't really care for. It's like if Andy and I coached different teams.
Right.
And when I beat Eric, I would go over there and smack him in the head.
It's still not right.
Well, maybe Schwartz shouldn't have yelled at him during the game when he was winning.
I don't care about anything other than...
I think both of them made complete bozos out of themselves.
I agree with you, Chris. When you come to the middle of the field, it should just be the same every week.
Absolutely.
It should be this, just a bland...
Shake the guy's hand and walk
game,
away.
Congratulations.
Well, and they had a roundtable. I guess NFL Network has a show with Theismann, Warren Sapp, Dahani Jones and
the 32
and Mariucci
that they do.
No,
it's
those four.
Or is it the one that originated it that they're copying.
And and of those four, the guy that was only with reason was Warren Sapp. I couldn't believe it. He was the only one that said, "Look, when the game's over, it's over."
Right.
You know, and Dahani Jones was like, "No, you know, you're excited." It's like, no.
Now
you know?
that's
ridiculous.
Here's my question: it's required for coaches to do that?
No, it is not.
Right?
There
isn't
no,
it? Isn't
no,
it required?
No.
Protocol.
It's just unspoken etiquette. Yeah.
See, I thought there was some sort of requirement that the coaches do something at the end of the game.
No.
Because they haven't. I mean, how about the Denver? Bill said, let's just do this now. We won't do it after the game.
Well,
right. They had to talk about it because it was mandated.
It's not like they filed with the league.
It just would be, you know, perceived as a slight if he didn't go out to middle of the field. But it is not a rule. Right. They don't have to do it. It's just if you don't do it nowadays.
But that's the problem, though. See, the thing is, if those two coaches wouldn't have greeted each other at the middle of the field, then the media like, oh, they didn't go out and greet each other. Oh, must be some tension there. Then that becomes a story.
Sure it does.
So, I mean, either way, it's like a lose-lose situation for them.
No,
so they're like, let's throw some bows.
No, it's do what everybody else does. Just go there, shake a hand, walk away.
Well, obviously,
and then go MF him in the locker room when you're
right,
with your own guys.
Or even if you want to say, You know, I was pissed off when he said that in the first quarter. You can say that in your post-game press conference. You just can't have a physical altercation on the field.
Right.
Yeah, I thought both guys were 100% in the wrong.
Now, how come they don't do? How come they don't do like in hockey, where the two teams line up and do the shaking hands?
Well, that's only after a playoff series, though.
Well, but still, I mean, if there's only 16 games all year.
Well,
why not? If they want to show sportsmanship, if they want to set an example of sportsmanship,
and that's just another thing.
Get,
that's just a tradition.
Get Roger on the phone. You have his.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Roger, yeah, he emailed me the other day.
No, that's not a rule.
Yeah. Things, I'll
that's just the way they do it. Now, you don't think that after, you know, the Bruins and Canucks smashed each other around for seven games last year, you think the Canucks wanted to stand there and shake hands? No, but you do, because that's what you do.
Yeah.
It's called being a human being. It's not that hard.
Luongo was the most sportsmanlike of all of them, I thought, after he got his,
You know, it's really not that hard.
It's not that hard. And these people that were making excuses for both of them saying, oh, well, that's the way they are. They're really fiery.
Doesn't matter.
It's such BS. I mean, you know. Right.
That's the way Mike Tyson is. He's fiery. He bites you.
You know, it's right.
You can say that for anybody.
Right.
That's actually a rare, normal analogy by Andy Hart.
Yeah.
You could excuse anything, but that's the way they are.
You know, it's one thing to make excuses for a 10-year-old kid in a Pop Warner game, but now we're making excuses for grown men making millions of dollars.
No, that's
ridiculous.
Absurd. Yeah. That's absurd.
Can we talk about something? I know you guys rarely talk about things that aren't sports related on the show.
We always do.
Well, yeah, that was
you obviously don't listen to the show.
Good job, Captain Obvious. It was a joke.
Wow.
Yeah. But
yeah.
But anyway,
Fred, seriously, the sexual tension really needs to be dealt with.
Yeah.
It's starting to become uncomfortable.
I agree, Paul.
Are you done, Paul?
Yeah, Eric would love to deal with it.
Are you done?
The problem is she goes, ew.
We have a love-hate relationship.
Wait, can we play that?
Yeah, no, I don't think he knows how to find those.
Okay.
Yeah, no, don't bother. It's not worth it.
It is.
It's not worth it.
Just make sure we get lunch. Don't worry about the board.
So,
don't worry about the board.
So you guys, I'm sure by now, have heard about that the guy in Zanesville, Ohio.
Yes.
That, like, what, I mean, have you guys talked about
the wild animal park
thing? What just happened yesterday? So you guys probably didn't talk about it on the radio yet, but
I feel terrible for those things.
What is going through your mind, like, to release those animals?
He was a nut job to begin with. Yeah, he killed.
Well, yeah.
He had just gotten out of prison for firearms violation.
He got out of prison, and I also heard he had a hill, and at the top of the hill, he had these cattle, and he just didn't feel like walking up the hill to feed them, so then they all just died. And just like this,
it's
this
like Eric
guy,
when he doesn't come to work.
And even the neighbor next door said, you know, yeah, I have young children. Like once I just heard a lion roaring in the middle of the night. I mean, can you imagine like, you know, people get mad about a dog barking. Can you imagine just like, rawr,
well,
like
apparently
a lion?
In Ohio,
crazy.
They have no rules for these exotic.
Apparently
yeah,
not.
Very lax.
They have like these options.
Zanesville is kind of in the middle of nowhere though, Ohio. So.
Is that near Pittsburgh? Is that right near like?
Well, not really. No. It's like, it's probably, if I had to guess, it's probably like 2 or 3 hours like west of Pittsburgh. But that's just a guess because I just looked at it on. I know it's like 60 miles from Columbus or something. So that's where it is in Ohio. But I just, that story is just, and I feel like I'm seeing all the photos of all the lions that have been shot and they're all really graphic. And the thing is people just, they'll post on like Twitter, this is so sad with a link. And then you click on it and it's like 20 dead, like lions and cheetahs that have all just been shot. And you're like, could I have had maybe like a little bit of warning?
I know it's at that point, I know it's a carcass, but there's something for humane treatment, even of, you know, a dead animal or dead person. The way they were clearing off these animals from the lot, they had like a John Deere tractor.
I know.
And they just put like a hook or grappling hook or something on these three tigers and were dragging them through the dirt. It's like, I mean,
yeah. Well, I
have
heard,
some respect.
I heard
for
that
the
animals,
it's absurd.
When they got there, the animals were eating the guy. Like the animals, the freed animals, they were eating the guy.
Oh, he was dead?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
When they first got there.
I'm okay with that.
And then
he got what he deserved.
I have no problem with that, but I also have no problem with what they had to do. They had to do what they had to do.
No, but you don't have to drag. You don't have to
they
tried.
They didn't have the manpower and
ability
to do that. They did try once.
And I heard that it was in the middle of the night and Jack Hanna is somehow involved with the Columbus Zoo and Jack Hanna said it's impossible to do in the middle of the night because I think they like would
They had
From
like an hour. They had an hour
well, then
of daylight
screw that.
To
they
do
They should have brought John Hanna. He would have tackled them.
That's a good one, Fred. I liked it.
There we go.
I thought it was good. There we go. But maybe, I think maybe they said if they did it in the middle of the night, maybe they wouldn't, all the animals were in the woods or something. So my thought is maybe they wouldn't have been able to find them if they would have like run off or something.
They found them to, oh, I see.
And
yeah.
Then, and then they would wake up and just and like, it would be, it's yeah. all, the same yeah, thing.
They had like
again,
an hour of daylight to work with. They didn't yeah. have time to get the personnel in and right. the tranquilizers from right. zoos and all that stuff. So
they got plenty horrible. Of guns.
They had to do what they had to do.
Horrible story.
It's just, no, so bizarre though. Like one of the most bizarre stories. I think that's why people can't stop talking
and
about
one,
it.
And the,
it's
one
so
of the
bizarre.
Tigers, there's only like 1,400 of them left in the world.
Right.
So now there's
really?
1,399.
Yeah. Right.
Wow.
1,400 tigers in the world that are left. You What's knock the, one off in 1,399.
I guess I just have no feelings at all.
Well, you're not an animal lover.
I'm not, but I mean, if even one human being was harmed by one of these animals, would anybody, you know, be looking at this differently?
Well, yeah, I mean, sure they would.
Yeah, they had to do what they had to do.
I just think that people are enraged. No,
they're wild animals.
They
can't be running around.
It's still a shame.
No, they're enraged that
I don't think anyone's like yelling at the people for killing them.
No, no, no. It's
they're yelling
just,
at
no,
the
it's
guy
a shame that it happened.
Yeah,
right.
It's the guy.
Right.
This,
it oh, the guy's
could
at
been
fault,
avoided.
Obviously.
The whole thing could have
yeah.
been avoided so
Absolutely.
Easily. Don't unlock the cages. But I
wild animals.
I did read one of my...
We're all in it together.
One of my friends works for a news station in Ohio, and she said...
I know you feel the same way I do, but you're not going to say anything.
I'm in it to win it.
I know how you react.
If the lion eats me, he wins. If I shoot him, I win.
Oh my gosh. My friend in Ohio, she said she works for a news station. She said, I never thought I would tweet this as part of like a news report, but she said the last animal they've been looking for, a diseased monkey,
yeah. with herpes.
They think has been eaten by one of the lions.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like
gotta open up its belly.
Well, they're
license
hoping
plate,
it got
monkey.
Well, what about
come up from
woman?
Southern waters.
What about that woman that had a monkey as a pet and her friend came over and the monkey ripped her face
yeah.
off?
Yeah.
You know?
That was a, yeah. yeah. A few
was
years
was
ago.
A shame they had to put that monkey down too, right?
Well, no, it's a shame that these people think that they can have.
Should
have
spanked the monkey.
Pets.
Bad monkey.
That's the shame.
Right. See, to me, it would be a shame if someone went to, you know, some, I don't know, some place in Africa and just, you know, shot up all these animals for no,
poaching.
No, yeah, yeah, no reason. That's different to me. Yeah. This is a whole different situation.
Right, but we're upset with the idea of keeping these animals there, not with having to kill them when the, you know.
Yeah.
Well, the Midwest, the though, there are a lot of these reserves for, like, big cats or.
Yeah, I just feel like this wasn't
exotic
even a
animals
reserve.
Where.
This was, like, just real random.
He probably
dude
wasn't,
that
but,
had
the,
an
but that area
farm.
Of the country, there are a lot of those.
It's called hidden. There's one called Hidden Treasures.
Yeah, like stuff like that.
You're
where like
Ohio, it's like
people,
a little, like,
people, people
sounds like that sounds like a gentleman's club.
Come on, Andy. Let's go.
Hidden
what do you got?
No, but like,
what do you got?
People like Michael Nothing. Vick, for instance, who have these. He didn't have exotic animals, I know, but I mean, like rich people who have these, who want like, oh, I want a jaguar as a pet, and they go and illegally get one, and then they realize, oh, it's illegal, I can't do this. Now they just the jaguar is on its own. They have these places where they take. It's like a reserve,
right?
Where people actually do take care of them, and it's sort of a zoo, but not really. They're trying to, you know, get them back into the yeah. wild somehow. But I don't think this guy was doing that. He was just, it sounds like a nut
who
job.
Knows? Who knows?
It's a retirement community for active animals.
Oh, my God. Assisted living.
I love when he goes into that voice.
Bingo at 5. I'd buy a panda bear.
Please wear shoes in the clubhouse.
That's the one I'd get as a panda bear if I were rich and could get an exotic
Why?
Animal.
Why?
They'll rip your face off, too.
A Kung yeah. Fu
no, but
panda.
I like them. If he goes out that way, hey, he died doing what he loves.
Right, exactly. I'd get a little baby panda and raise him as my own.
No, you should get one of those orangutans with the big red ass. Because then, you know, like owner and pet. You know how owners start to look like their pets?
That one wasn't bad.
Oh, no, baboon. Baboon.
Baboon, yeah. Right. That one wasn't bad. I'll give you that one.
Andy would probably get a blue-footed booby just because it has the word booby in it.
I don't even know what a blue-footed booby is, but
he's going to go find out.
If I stomp on your foot, we're going to find out. Oh!
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to it. John is in New York. Hey, John. John?
Hello?
John.
Did you hit the on-air button?
I did. Is John there?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing great.
Hey, I had to call in after yesterday. It's going to be tough to follow up the baboon talk. But isn't letting Wes Welker go kind of like the same thing we did with Asante Samuel? So we're going to sit there and take 8 more draft picks of wasted picks on trying to replace him instead of just paying him his money?
Anytime, you're right. Anytime that you've got a free agent that's established in your system and you let him go, it's Deion Sanders. It's Adam Vinatieri. it's the same situation. So you're exactly right. And, you know, but the question is, and it's a fair one, you know, Andy has reservations about giving a guy that much money.
At that age.
At that age.
That injury, that hit.
It's a fair concern. It's a fair concern. But like you said, you know, who are you replacing him with? And, you know, do you end up taking two steps back just to save a few million dollars?
But aren't they two separate decisions? I mean, you have to make a decision. Is the best decision to keep him or not? And if not, then the next decision is how do I fill out my roster to replace him, to move past it?
Yeah, but I think that the Belichick GM, I think, has been, I hate to use the word with him in the phrase, he's been a failure. We've taken eight picks trying to replace Samuel, and we haven't even come close. We had a guy who was downright perfect for our system, and God forbid he made any money, and he went somewhere else and has been really good in a completely different system, and we spent all these draft picks and who knows how much money trying to replace him, and we haven't even come close.
But don't we have a Pro Bowl corner? I mean, not coming close is a little misleading, no? Don't you have a captain on defense?
A Pro Bowl corner who gave up a 30-yard play and couldn't make a tackle the other day and has looked like he was a high school player recently.
But I think lumping him in with Terrence Wheatley and the guys who didn't come close
he's
is
struggling.
Unfair.
You're right. He's struggling, but he's been...
He is better than them. I don't mean to, to kill McCourty.
Yeah, the jury's
I know what you mean. You're talking emotionally. I know. Andy and I go there. Don't worry about it.
And to be fair, he's the guy they really tried to replace him with. I mean, they went first-round pick, so that's your greatest effort to find a Pro Bowl type player is the first round. The further you get down, second round, later second rounds.
Yeah, but you can't dismiss those other ones as not really trying to replace Samuel. Of course they were trying to replace
Samuel.
Well,
see, they were trying to draft a corner.
It was the 33rd pick who can't even get on the field.
Well, are we cutting ties with him already? Wow.
No, you're
making
the
most positive guy on the planet right now.
Oh, Dowling?
Yeah, I mean.
Unfortunately, his injury history, the guy's been injured back to high school. We got to make the assumption that he's going to spend his career injured.
Well, I don't think Bill made that assumption, or he wouldn't have taken him with the 33rd pick in the draft, right?
Again, we're back to the Bill drafting. I think
well, if you hate Bill and you
amazing,
think he's...
I think the Bill drafting
wait,
is not
wait,
so
wait.
Great.
He doesn't like Bill the GM.
Right, then
I
Bill, the,
Bill the
then
GM.
Stop letting him to make those decisions, if that's the way you feel, because he's also the one who's deciding whether to sign or not re-sign Wes Welker. So
I'd
you think he's going
to
screw it up.
It's never going to happen, but it's never going to occur, because like one of these years, you said it for the last 2 years. Can we use both of those picks and move up and take somebody who's an impact player?
Yes.
Instead of drafting in the mid-20s and the 30s, then trading out, and then, hey, we got 19 seventh-round picks that we're not going to turn into anybody.
Well, I agree with you on that, but it all gets back to if you have no faith in Bill the GM, that's the problem. That's the biggest problem, because if he trades up, you won't have faith in him taking the right guy at 7. If he sits put, you won't have...
Well, how do we know for a fact that Bill hasn't tried to do that and just no one would cooperate with him?
Oh, we don't.
You know?
But again...
Well, but yet every time he tries to trade down, he finds a willing partner.
Well, that's different.
But if you don't have faith in him, it means you also don't have faith in him to assess the value of the trade as a GM. I'll trade you my two first-round picks for your number 10 pick. You know what I mean? If you have no faith in him as your key personnel decision-maker, then that's the bottom line. You don't have faith in that decision, whatever the decision is, draft, trade, sign, anything.
Great
right?
point, Andy.
So
great point.
That's your biggest issue. If you're a Patriots fan and says, I love Bill Belichick, the coach. I've lost faith in Bill Belichick, the GM. That's your biggest problem, regardless of all other decisions after that.
I know, but when you get a guy who has the complete control like Bill Belichick, you have to look at the total thing. And the whole package comes out pretty good, you know?
Yeah, and you're winning.
Right.
That's the other issue. You lose your power like Holmgren did in Seattle when you start losing, when you're going 8-8, when you're going 7-9, you're not making the playoffs. When you're making the playoffs, when you're winning 14 games, no owner in their right mind is going to say, you know what? You blew those second-round picks. I'm taking away your personnel power.
Right.
You can still, I mean, that's you're cutting your own throat.
Yeah, but excuse me for acting like a Yankee fan here for a second. It's about winning championships. It's not about going 14-2 and losing in the first round.
But, well, sounds like you also may have a philosophical difference with Bill Belichick, because I think he believes it's about being competitive long-term and making the playoffs and not just going all in for 1 year and then having three rebuild years.
Bill's got a little bit of the Moneyball philosophy in him, in that this is how he feels like is the best way to set up your organization so you're always competitive, and then winning it all is largely a crapshoot.
Right.
I think Bill's actions have told us that's what he feels.
What's your gut instinct telling you, though? Are we going to lose Welker or not?
They're not going to sign Wes Welker.
You don't think they are?
I do not believe that they will. I think he's going to get some sort of money that they're not going to be willing to pay. I don't know if he's going to get $30 million guaranteed and $50 million overall, but I think if he gets between 8 and 10 million a season, he's not coming back here.
Well, don't you think they'll probably franchise him? They're not just going to let him walk for free agency.
No, I think
you might get one of those.
Yeah, I think he's going to get franchised.
I think he'll end up back here.
But I also thought that they would do for 10 years, more to keep Asante Samuel than they did, and he did nothing. They just let him walk.
But well, they negotiated out of the franchise tag with him.
But here's the thing.
Right. They did once, right?
And then they negotiated, if you come back, we won't put the franchise tag on you next year.
But here's the thing with this whole, you know, whose philosophy is best and who's wrong. There is no team in the NFL who, if you look at championships as the final gauge, does it perfectly.
Right.
You know, so Bill Polian's a great judge of talent. But a lot of people say that they should have won more championships than they did. Pittsburgh Steelers are known for their drafting.
Kevin Colbert, throw his name out there.
Yeah, Kevin. They're known for their drafting, but they're hot
Andy's
and cold.
Man crush.
They just say known for the drafting. It's Bill Polian in Indy, but they always just say Pittsburgh's known for its drafting.
Yeah.
Kevin Colbert is
you know,
the guy.
So, you know, but, and they're hot and cold. So there is no team that if championships are the final thing, you can say, oh, that's the philosophy.
Right.
Right.
Because you'd have to have like six in a row or whatever. So he always wins.
So I agree with Pittsburgh and Bill Polian and Bill Belichick, where the idea is to be competitive year in and year out. And they are successful doing it. And I would venture to say that each of them have a little bit different spin on it. But they're successful in doing it.
Very, very similar. You're right.
Yeah.
All of them, I would say. And I would throw Philadelphia in that mix.
Yeah.
I think the big difference between in Pittsburgh is they did it going back even further than Roethlisberger.
Oh, yes.
So the issue with Indy and New England is they did it when Manning and Brady were there. That's when they were great.
Yep.
They maintained greatness through drafting, through misses with those two guys. Pittsburgh, you can even say, they were going to AFC title games with Cordell Stewart and these Jag quarterbacks and Super Bowls with Jag quarterbacks
in the 90s.
Well, they
did it with defense and running.
So, but I think that's harder to do, personally. If you don't have the franchise quarterback, I think it makes it more. Now they do. Now they have their guy in Roethlisberger.
But I think one of the things that Pittsburgh, you know, makes some success is they have owners that don't meddle, and they have owners that are patient. And I think that, and they stick to their philosophy.
That's the biggest
They
point.
Don't change their philosophy. And it gets back to my point. I think you can have different philosophies and succeed, but you got to stick to it.
Yes.
And be patient.
And be allowed to stick to it.
Right.
That's the key with the ownership and the decision maker being allowed to, we had a hiccup here, we're picking at the top of the draft or whatever, but we'll get back. This philosophy has its roots in a strong foundation.
And you know what? One of the funny things is with Indy and New England is they both sort of hit a draft lull at the same time. You know, in the late part of the previous decade, the aughts, as Eric likes to say, 06, 07, 08, they didn't get a lot of players. And that's you're seeing it with Indy now because they lost Manning. You know?
Yep.
And it's a hard way to do it, and that's why I think Pittsburgh is really to be commended, because as Andy says all the time, Kevin Colbert doesn't have a lot of misses in the draft. And even when the quarterback isn't there, they still won.
Yep.
Is he still on the line?
No.
Is he gone? That was a good call.
Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0393.
I like the passion.
Is the ace
no, but
hotline.
He was angry.
When he was angry about the idea of it,
that's a good point.
He listens.
I like people that listen, unlike me.
No, I mean, he was angry at the idea of what could happen. Not angry at us.
And the idea of allowing Bill to make decisions.
Yeah. Not only did he listen, he bought his lunch, too.
Oh, that's the lunch buyer?
Oh, I like angry lunch buyers.
I should have.
Even more than just.
I would never have hung up on him.
Who was it?
John Silva.
John from
New York.
From New York. Thank you, John.
He had that angry New Yorker mentality.
So. Yeah, thanks for nothing, John.
I like it.
Now, let's go to Virginia, where Olivier is on the line. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
You're still in Virginia? That's good stamina.
I know. Thank you. I don't have to take Viagra.
Baseball, apple pie.
But hey, listen.
I heard you, punk. No, you're not getting away with that.
Lindsay's bringing the show down.
Whoa!
How are you, Lindsay? Nice meeting you.
Hi, how are you?
You know, all these things about these animals and so forth, it's terrible.
Oh, wow.
All right, fair enough.
I think we should have shot that owner. We should not have shot the animal.
Well, he shot himself, so we're good.
He got eaten,
should
too.
Shoot Lindsay?
He got his.
Yes. I have a few questions for you, as usual. You know, we've had our problems and challenges with
too many.
But we've seen some progress on a game-to-game basis. And a lot of people are saying that when we won the Super Bowl the three times, we saw that progression in the defense. Do you guys see a trend now that you can reassociate with the success years of the team to what's happened from the beginning of the season as to we are now, or do you think that we still have some fundamental issues?
It's way too early.
Really allow us to progress.
No, they always get better. I mean, their MO as a team is to get better. All those numbers late in the year, after Thanksgiving, blah, blah, blah. And I think defense generally gets better, but they started from, in my opinion, the worst we've ever seen here.
Yeah.
So I don't know where it goes.
Yeah. And are you surprised that we didn't make any stronger move? It seems like we've re-signed people that we cut many times before, then we're re-signing them and so forth. It sounds like
almost
a joke.
Yeah, it's the way the rules are written in the league as far as practice squad goes. They've had some depth issues, particularly, you know, in the secondary, and they've had to call guys up from the practice squad. But in order to put them back down on the practice squad when they don't really need them the next week, they have to cut them. Those guys have to clear waivers and then get re-signed. They can't just put them right back down on the practice squad. They can call them right up from the practice squad, but they can't go back down that easily. So it is a little ridiculous, but that's the way the rules are, and that's what we've seen.
We have two open spots in the team. Do you think that the people that they took out of...
We don't anymore.
Not anymore, no.
The guys.
Ventrone went to the 53, and Sterling Moore went to the practice squad.
And Adams was
and
signed.
Philip Adams
before.
Was signed the day before, so
which would play into your little. They just keep re-signing the same guys, but we don't have any active spots.
Yeah, and my guess is it's one of those guys will get let go, and one of the PUP guys will probably get activated.
Right.
If not immediately, you know, maybe another week.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. And by the way, just trying to buy you lunch, so I'm working the details with Kevin as soon as he comes back from his.
Why don't you work him out with Matt? He's more reliable.
Yeah, talk to Matt.
He's more reliable than Kevin.
We won't drop him. I don't know if Fred knows how to not drop you, but
no.
Oh, that's
just
okay.
That hold button. All right, puts him on hold.
Guessing I'm not getting a lunch from him. I bring the show down. So no lunch for me.
Said before you made him sad talking about dead animals.
Oh, sorry, sir. Sorry.
Sir. Let's continue on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Chris with a TIAN. Christian, how you doing?
Okay, what's going on?
Oh, we're just talking to you on the phone, you know.
Smart ass. Couple of things. I did beat Eric in words. So
Whoa.
You resigned from a game midway through when I was beating you by like 80 points, and you haven't beaten me
Eric
in about
is
three
throwing,
months.
He's like throwing a fit right now, like a
wait a minute. You're misrepresenting yourself.
You haven't beaten me in 3 months. He beat you
once.
Does anyone have more excuses who claims he's undefeated? Well, you haven't beat me in 3 months. He beat you just like Cassie, just like Lindsay.
Once
for an undefeated
once,
guy,
and once.
Well, he's got a lot of losses in his winning streak here. I mean, it's unbelievable.
The Patriots would like him.
Yeah, the PR department would love Eric.
Christian, all I'm saying is you're misrepresenting yourself here, my friend.
I think he said I beat you. And you just said, you haven't beaten me in months.
Eric, if I were
so
you...
So he beat you.
It looks like Eric isn't that scrobulous after all.
No.
I would go out to free agency.
Scrappy.
And I would have my agent, if I were Eric, bid my services to Indianapolis and to the Patriots to see which one... Because you have more losses in the midst of your winning streak than the Colts of the early part of the decade and the Patriots now.
My winning percentage is up in the upper 90s.
Oh, now
it's winning percentage.
Now we're telling fables.
I thought you
it
never lost.
Now it's fable hour.
Fables? You want to go through it here?
Christian, what else you got?
Well, you got to sign Welker, and here's why. Who else do you have? Is Branch going to be here next year? Is Ochocinco going to be here next year?
What's
going on with Taylor Fright?
Why can't they get somebody else?
Hernandez and you got Brock, but at the wide position, who else do you have in the pipeline?
Well, why can't we replace him? Why can't you draft somebody? Why can't you trade for somebody? Why can't you sign somebody?
Well, if you draft
because
somebody,
every time you try to bring somebody in, it usually doesn't work out. 2007, when they brought everybody in Boston, Walker hit and Gaffney and everything. In 2006, they hit, but you know, for all those guys, there's the Joey Galloways of the world that come in here, and the Greg Lewis's of the world that come in here and can't play that position.
I am stunned with what we are getting to the root of this problem. No one has confidence in Bill to bring in replacements.
Well, the recent track record doesn't indicate that.
I mean, that's this. The last two calls are want to sign Welker because I don't trust him to replace him.
Are you willing to take a step back at receiver if you don't
yes.
sign Welker?
You're
yes. willing to do that?
because I have Hernandez and because I have Gronk. I have two proven guys.
They're tight ends.
I am well, no. Hernandez is a slot receiver.
Okay, but
plays
the tight
end position Welker does.
They're tight ends.
But he's a slot receiver.
Who are your wide receivers?
Exactly. Taylor Price. Yeah. And I believe.
Really?
I have confidence in Taylor Price. And I think I would sign some. If I let major pieces go, I would draft or sign somebody.
And Julian Edelman would.
But why not sign the guy you know can produce for you in this system?
Because you have a known commodity.
Which we said about Asante Samuel.
Have to
why let him go?
For him.
Well, you're going to have to.
It's
over...
different. Well, how old was
Asante when he left?
If you go on
the free agent market,
26?
If you go on the free...
This guy's going to be 30.
Four or five years. 30-year-old
torn ACL.
If you go on the open market and sign a top-flight receiver, you're going to pay that same money.
Who's 26? No, you won't. You won't pay the same price for a 30-year-old. You'll sign a 26-year-old and pay that kind
of
money.
Well, why didn't they make an effort to get Larry Fitzgerald then when they could?
Well, he wasn't
available. According to Nesson, they did.
And he's not available.
Yeah.
If they had made the right offer, he would have been available.
He wasn't a free agent.
No. For a trade, I'm talking about.
If you think he was available, you're high.
Apparently.
Yeah, but now you're talking about trading a first or second round pick and paying the guy like you would have to pay Welker.
Or I'm talking about drafting a guy and not missing on the draft pick. Or signing a free agent and not missing on the free agent.
So let's just say the Patriots had a chance to draft Dez Bryant this year instead of having Wes Welker. Would you be happy with that? Because that's what you're gonna have to put up with that for 1 or 2 years before
maybe.
The guy, you know.
There's plenty of receivers that come in and are great right away.
Right, I would have taken
it. Doesn't sound happen so easy, here. Though, Andy. You're making it sound
no.
So easy.
No,
why do I have just faith in Bill Belichick?
I'll say this: it's not about
draft
Dez
pick.
Bryant.
Don't miss on the draft pick, a free agent. It don't would, miss. How? I mean, it's not that easy.
It would be AJ Bill. Green. I bet you would take.
Oh, in a heartbeat. Thank
Dez,
you.
And Dez Bryant, you would take the player, just not the person.
AJ Green is the only receiver they have on that team.
You're missing the point.
All
you have to identify
Calvin
a guy
Johnson.
With talent, and you want to draft him. It's not that hard. It's really not that hard. It's
would,
overcomplicated
I
mean, to the nth degree.
I would
degree.
Do it myself. Every year, there is at least one
apparently
or two
it's
guys
hard when it comes to outside
at
linebackers
every position that
we don't
I would take
any.
That's what I mean.
I mean, if we had a laundry list of guys that we missed on, I would say that's hard. We don't. We don't try.
Okay, maybe it's hard at cornerback then.
And you get the whole
maybe it's
thing
hard at cornerback, that's for sure.
Of somebody coming in here and trying to learn the system, trying to learn the reads. Do you want to ask that from a rookie?
And I'm also talking about the first
I don't know,
round.
A college quarterback did it in Julian Edelman.
I mean,
yeah,
but
he sits in and can't get on the field, Andy.
But it's not because he doesn't know what he's doing. But
where's he going to play?
But you know, AJ.
He's
Green,
behind Welker.
AJ.
I don't know somewhere.
Where was AJ?
He doesn't
Green
play
drafted.
Ocho Cinco's position.
Fourth.
Right. Yeah. Do you think that the Patriots could have afforded to give Welker a contract and had A.J. Green on their roster?
Yes.
So why do you have to do one and not the other?
Are they going to do that, though?
I don't know, but I don't think...
Are they going to allot that many resources to that?
But I think your assumption is in order to get, you know, be in the position to draft a guy like A.J. Green, we can't re-sign Wes Welker.
I wouldn't re-sign Wes Welker because of I think I'm going to be stuck with a contract I don't want to pay in 2 years. I wouldn't sign him.
Yeah.
How many years would you sign him to, Andy, maximum?
If I could get a three-year Moss deal, $27 million, what he signed, I would probably do that.
3 years is about what
but
I would
he's probably
at.
Looking for like a five.
I would assume
probably.
He's looking 4 to 5.
Or either that or a lot more than $27 million.
Right.
That would be my guess. He either wants, I would say he either wants the term
or
the money.
The amount, yeah.
Yep.
He's going to be looking for the highest contract ever given to a receiver of his age and ability.
So he might take
ever.
A 5-year deal where the annual value is 9, like the 3 for $27, you know, with a bonus in there. But I don't think he would take a 3-year deal.
I'd be willing
for
to
that.
Give him $11 million a year for 3 years.
3 years, $33 million?
He might go for that.
I think he would go for
real
that.
$33 million or fake $33 million.
All right, guys, gotta go. Thanks.
Okay.
Water's rising. Right. Water's dropping. Oh, the water is going all over the place.
That's the first one of our callers wants to get off before I get him.
That's
off.
Not the
thanks,
first.
Thanks, Christian.
He's unbelievable.
Unreal.
He just said,
I heard what he said.
We all heard him.
Yeah,
we all heard him.
Yeah, we got it, Andy.
We all heard him.
That's funny.
Oh, my God.
You guys
are
all mature old farts.
We all said to ourselves, and you went,
it's funny. He said he wanted to get him off.
Oh, my God.
Our show should make cocks bigger.
It does. Well done, Matt.
But it doesn't finish the job quickly.
Andy and I actually continued this wonderful conversation yesterday. About Welker and
got a little fish in my throat.
It was funny. I mean, the longer we went,
fish in your throat.
I'm having tuna for lunch.
So funny.
It's really tuna. It's fish in my throat. It's not frog.
You all right?
I don't know.
All right, moving on.
You continued the discussion.
Well, the more we talked about it, the more Andy appeared to take on the role of Paul Perillo. I just don't think he feels all that strongly about Welker. And we talked about it. I was like, this is unbelievable. You've been badgering me, you know, all season long about this, and it just doesn't seem like, you know, now that I'm finally on board, it just doesn't seem like.
Paul just wrote a commentary about get Welker back in the fold.
You know, and I really would. I was worried last year that there was a downward decline from 07, 08, 09, obviously bottoming out in 10 after the ACL injury. I thought it was a downward climb, but he has shown this year. I just pulled a dick in there. I didn't finish my sentence, went on to the next one. But he has shown this year.
I thought he said something else.
And that
Come on, be a little more mature.
He's
Eric,
back.
Please.
I just really thought that's what he said.
I don't think there's any reason to think that he can't give you three more really, really good years. Now, as good as the first six games? No, I don't think that's what we're going to get.
Or the first three or four?
Oh, boy. I'll tell you.
Paul's giving him $50 million based on like a half a month of football.
This is what we came to yesterday is he is Paul Perillo circa 2007. Yeah. He thinks nothing of Welker.
He's had 400-yard games out of six.
No, that's not true. That's not true, not nothing.
He has 780 whatever yards.
Heavily weighted towards the first couple more so than the.
Let me ask you a question.
He's had four out of six games over 100 yards. One of them was over 200 yards.
Right. Was that in the first three?
Well, two games ago he had 125.
Yeah.
Now, granted, that was not a good game. But
he's had those over his career where he has 100-yard games, right?
Not in such a concentrated part of the schedule, though.
Do you have the same?
His production is heavily weighted towards the first three more than the last three, correct?
No.
Andy, do you have
No, I don't think that's true.
Yeah, you should probably check the numbers.
That's true.
Andy, do you have the same line of thinking for Richard Seymour?
No.
Why?
Because I thought Richard Seymour was at an elite all-pro level his whole career.
And he was much younger.
And younger.
No, I'm talking about this when they traded him to Oakland.
I think he was younger player.
You would have given him top flight?
Potentially, yes. I had less concerns he was going to fall off the map, and I think he was better for a longer period of time. Welker is very good.
I'll give him your question, Fred. We'll turn the tables. Would you have been willing to give the Patriots, give Will Fork what he got and Seymour something like that? Because I would have.
Both of them or instead of?
Both of them.
Yeah, see.
Like you're talking about A.J. Green and Welker.
Yeah, see, not if I was having. The whole thing is they got a first round pick for Seymour. They got that type of value. Yeah,
and ended up with two twos.
Yeah, because, you know, but they ended up 8-8, the Raiders did. You know, if they had been the worst team in the league, was a possibility.
I would rather have Richard Seymour than the 17th pick of the draft.
I think the.
In 2009.
Yeah.
In 2009. I would rather have had Richard Seymour than the 17th pick of the 2011 draft.
Yeah.
Now, I was on board. You guys sold me on that trade. I was on board.
I was never on board with that one either.
But I didn't like it. The more time went by, the more I didn't like it. I mean, Solder, I think, is going to be a fine pick. So this has nothing at all to do with Nate Solder. I like the guy they took. I think he's going to be a good player. But I'd rather have Seymour than a tackle. I'd rather have Seymour than the 17th pick.
Yeah.
Well, everybody would. Right? I mean.
Sure.
Talking about one of the dominant defensive players of his generation. I mean, a guard on our team said, had he played for Oakland forever, you'd be talking about one of the greatest players to ever play the game defensively.
Brian Waters.
Reggie White. I mean, you'd be talking him in that nature of the conversation.
And that elk?
Elk, as I like to say.
Right.
Let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline.
A lot of calls.
508-298.
So wait a minute. Has Lindsay weighed in on this officially? She's for the re-sign Welker? Is that?
I'm going to get a cookie.
Am I for?
You
again?
Want a cookie
am I for? Am I for
yes,
the
you
re-sign
do.
Welker? I don't know if I am or not because I feel like
that's good radio right there.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure because
we'll get to it after the break.
I think that's I don't know. It's kind of gay.
Yeah, maybe, but I feel like Brady has too many other options, and I think maybe Welker is. I mean, Welker's a good player, but he's better because of Brady. So, I mean, my opinion, like if you know, say. Well, if you're the Bengals, would you in a couple years would you re-sign AJ Green? If they don't have anybody else,
how
then,
come
yeah,
Ocho's
I mean,
not better
who,
because
who
of
else?
Brady?
Because maybe Ocho's never Ocho doesn't isn't in any snaps. He's not involved. So
you can only get better because of Brady if Brady wants to work with you and if you're capable of actually being
that's
on
true.
The
Brady
court.
Wants to
that's
work
true.
With you if you're good.
No, he wants to work with you if you're where you're supposed to be when
he throws
the ball.
I think you guys are not giving enough credit to Wes Welker.
But I said he's a good player, but if
he's
if,
a
you
good
know,
player, on the back nine of his career instead of the front nine, and I don't want to pay him like he's on his front nine.
We saw what happened when, in 06, when they got rid of all their talented receivers, and they were stuck with, as Paul likes to say, a bunch of shoemakers. Brady pouted. He still got them to the AFC title game, and they almost went to the Super Bowl, but he pouted, and they went out and fixed it the next year. I don't think they're going to do that again and take away his best receiver.
So we're also getting rid of Welker and Gronkowski, because that's the same thing, right? I mean, at the same time. You got rid of both.
Hernandez and Gronkowski.
Hernandez and Gronkowski, you mean?
Yeah, you got rid of both his top receivers. So you took the core of the offense away. To me, you still have a core in these developing young players that allows, if they didn't have those guys, I might be with you. I might say, you got nothing, so you better overpay out your wazoo to keep him. I have a lot of faith in those two guys. I also have a lot of
faith in Julian Edelman, too. I do, too.
As the third option, now, not, you know, he's not the man. You don't have to be Welker.
He can't stay on the field.
And that may be an issue. But I'm also taking somebody else. You act like we're not going to fill that slot. If Edelman gets hurt, we're screwed because we didn't draft a receiver in the second round or we didn't sign a mid-level veteran. I mean, in a league where you can get the receiving yardage leader for a fifth-round pick, we're just not going to replace receivers, right? At all. We're just going to move on. Because receivers don't get traded, receivers don't get signed, well, receivers don't get drafted.
As we've seen, you know, receivers can be, you know, a risky thing. You know,
as can safeties, as can everything.
But when you have Tom Brady, you don't want to take chances.
When I have Bill Belichick, I take the chance that he can pick a player.
The thing is, it's like, are you overlooking?
Come on.
Okay, say Rex Grossman is your quarterback in week six, and Wes Welker is his number one receiver. I mean, that it's like the whole thing is completely different. The entire situation is entirely
different. I get to keep Gronkowski. I get to keep Hernandez. I feel like I have a core of an offense right there.
Yeah, I feel. I mean,
when
I
sprinkle in an Edelman and I
a
sprinkle
lot of
in a this,
and Brady's going to get the ball to whoever is on the field. And I think Welker, like I said, Welker is a great player. He's aggressive. He makes plays that other people can't make. But that's not going to stop Brady from making the ball go down the field.
The voice of reason on this show, Three Wise. She's a Three Wise woman.
Well, then really, we shouldn't pay anyone a lot of money. Because it's all Brady.
That's basically what they've done over the last 10 years.
You know? And they continue to go 14-2.
They made sure they kept the quarterback and the coach. And that's what the principles with which this foundation is built upon.
And a couple linemen.
So when Gronkowski and Hernandez are up for their next contract, see
you
later.
I've already said Gronkowski's long gone.
See you later.
Hard to find.
Fred, do you own one of these Eggies?
No, I don't.
That looks like something you'd be into.
Did you guys hear Julian Edelman was on America's Next Top Model last night?
I saw him tweet it. But what is that?
Some type of charity?
I don't know.
He was on there for promoting a charity.
I didn't see it, but.
Was he on the catwalk or was he judging?
I don't know.
Was he too sexy for his shit?
I don't watch the show.
Wow.
I don't know. But the welcome thing is really interesting. I think it's a.
I think it's interesting.
It's a great debate Friday. No, it's not.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a great debate Friday.
508-298-0398. Let's go to Tim in Florida. Hey, Tim.
Tim.
Hey.
Oh,
he almost said Tim.
Fred?
What's going on?
Fred, you are awesome.
Thank you.
And don't listen to that. This is my first chance actually calling into PFW because I have college classes, but I'm tired, so I just decided to say screw it for today and sit on my butt. But so you are awesome, and you're right for hanging up on that idiot earlier. He was addressing you in a very disrespectful tone, and I do not appreciate it. We love Fred Kirk.
There you go. Thank you.
You're welcome. I have two quick questions, and I haven't listened to the entire show because I just got in, and so if you've already covered it, you can go on to some other stuff. But my quick comments is first on the defense. Someone mentioned that someone on the post-game show was bashing Andre Carter. I think they were referring to me, and I wasn't trying. And we had to end the conversation quickly because we had to go. The post-game show had to go to the Brady press conference. But what I was saying is I just – not take Andre Carter out. I just wanted that elite guy. My problem is every time I see the our defensive line, if you look at it, is very good at actually, because they're so strong, breaking up the opposing offensive line. The problem is, it seems to me that we're just never able to catch the quarterback, and I've been watching some other teams, and their D linemen, you snap your fingers, and they're to the quarterback, while our people are still chasing them. I wouldn't trade Vince Wilfork for anyone. I think Haynesworth is going to do it, and I'm fine with Carter. But I just felt that we might have needed someone who just, when you snap your fingers, they could get to the guy. And on the offense, my second quick point is that Taylor Price hasn't been used because apparently he hadn't been able to learn the playbook. Well, I noticed a serious weakness in our
our office.
You all right there?
You been drinking?
I'm eating Chinese food.
Oh.
Yeah,
it's like a back on grandpa's cough medicine.
No, but here's the thing, and our weakness is that our game is pretty much short and intermediate. We don't have anyone to go deep, so how about just telling Taylor Price, I know our offense is all about options, but either just run straight or just run the out route. And I brought that up to Pac-Man, and he said, well, he thinks that Slater's able to do it better than Price. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I think Slater is faster than Price, if you're talking about straight-line speed.
Probably.
So if that's what all you want him to do.
Well, he's got to catch the ball, too.
Yeah.
I think he has got good hands.
Yeah, so, I mean, but he's also got to get open, you know. And so if that's all you want him to do, I don't think it matters. I think Slater's just as good as Price. But I think we're all hoping that Price does more than that, you know.
I think Price has made a. I think he's done much better, obviously, in his second year. I think.
How do you know?
I just from watching, like in his rookie season at training camp, he couldn't field a punt. Like he acted like he had no idea what he was doing. I mean, I think he's made a lot of progress.
He made some great catches in the preseason.
Yeah,
which I was surprised we haven't seen more of him. At least get some opportunities. Based on what we saw in there.
He looked very scared. His rookie season, he looks scared.
Right,
he doesn't look
more
scared
confident.
This season. He looks like he has more confidence.
But he hasn't been on the field since the regular season started.
When he holds his helmet behind Bill on the sideline, he looks very confident.
No, but he had those great sideline and back of the end zone catches in preseason that made us think, you know what, this guy's going
to
get some reps this year.
Right.
And we haven't gotten anything.
Preaching to the choir here, brother.
Tim in Florida, thank
brother
you
Kane,
for the call.
Brother Kane, I'll debate plans with you any day, Brother Kane.
Tim hasn't called before, but he got it all out in that one.
Yeah,
call,
he did. Boy, was he excited.
While eating Chinese.
Including the
burp.
He fits in on this
including
show.
The burp, right.
He burped. He talks fast. He was eating Chinese. And
by the way,
like Eric.
Tim, not making fun of you at all. That's what we do while we talk. We burp and we eat.
I couldn't tell if he was like hungover.
I think he was
like,
a little hungover.
Well, he did say, I just got in.
Yeah.
I don't know if he really meant literally like from a night out.
Where
was he from?
Florida.
Florida.
Oh, just Florida. We should ask him what school.
Tim, TG and NJ says, I think Andy's off on this one. Aren't you forgetting something about Welker? Brady. You think Brady will allow Belichick to let him go?
Yes.
I don't.
It's not
I don't.
Brady.
No, but I think after what like I said earlier, I think after what happened in 06,
it's also
and the ugliness that happened there,
it could post-date Brady, the decision. I mean,
I don't think it's going
to
happen.
He'll have 3 years
with Brady.
After this. If you sign Welker to a 5-year deal,
I don't think they're going to sign him to that long.
He could have a longer deal than your quarterback.
I'm more in line with you. I think they're going to go shorter term and try to give him the money that he's looking for.
I think they're going to franchise him.
He's going to get franchised.
How much of the decision to bring Branch back do you think was Brady?
I'm sure he was a voice of support.
I really don't think they ever wanted to let Branch go in the first place. I think they kind of were.
I believe them. I take them at their word for that. I agree with you, Eric. I don't think they wanted to let him
go. So I think any opportunity they could have gotten him back, I think they would have, regardless of what Brady had to say about it. But I'm sure he, you know, was lobbying for that anyway all along.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Darius is in Virginia Beach. Hey, Darius.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Oh, nothing. We're just talking. Now, you want to weigh in on Wes Welker?
Yeah, well, quite a few things now. You guys brought up so many different things here. But I definitely think they should sign Welker. And here's why I believe that. I keep hearing Andy talking about, well, he's on the back nine. And I'm guessing he's saying that his production is down in terms of yards after catchers. It's got to be that. And I'm seeing it go, well, obviously, because now they know who Welker is. They're scheming against Welker. So as soon as he catches the ball, there's defenders around him. Whereas for 3 years ago, nobody knew who Welker was. So, of course, his production looks so much better in the first 3 years than it does now. However, he's the main reason why the offense is moving so well. I mean, you cannot say that he's not an important piece of the offense.
And actually, okay, Darius, and then, his yards per after catch have gone up this year.
This is his best year by far.
Yeah.
After or
okay,
at?
So, and after having surgery on a knee. So my whole point is I think he would be worth signing than letting him go. I would rather get rid of Branch and Ocho than get rid of Welker.
Well, they're going to be gone, too.
Yeah, but see, you don't have to make a big money decision on those guys.
And as far as Hernandez, he's a different kind of slot receiver. So having both Welker and Hernandez on the field at the same time causes a lot of headache. You know, it's you're talking about two different kinds of receivers that makes it hard to scheme against. So I would say keep Welker.
All right.
And
I'm with you, Darius.
And then the other thing you guys were talking about, Steelers and Patriots as far as philosophy. to me, I heard somebody, I think it was Andy, who said that, you know, I guess Bill Belichick's philosophy is to always be competitive. And that you don't want to, you know, oh, let's build for Super Bowl right now and then be rebuilding for the next 3 years. And that, to me, makes sense if we're talking about 15, 20 years ago. Now it seems like every year you're always rebuilding. There's so many guys that are, you have to re-sign for free agency and just, you know, constant changes that you're doing that anyways.
Wow.
And even the guys that you sign now, they three, you know, 4 or 5 years out, they're free agents.
Yeah, I rebuilding is when, you know, you lose Tom Brady and Bill Belichick retires. The Patriots have not had to rebuild this decade.
Well, okay, right. But you're talking about a couple of foundational.
Yeah,
players,
whoever your foundation right? people are.
As long as you have Brady, you don't have to rebuild. You're absolutely right, Fred.
So
they've turned
the
entire rest of the team has turned over, and they have had no discernible real difference. Now the defense is not as talented as it was, but you're still going to the playoffs every year. You're still winning the AFC East virtually every year.
They've had segments of the roster that have had to be rebuilt.
Right.
The wide receiver positions had to be rebuilt. The cornerback and safety
positions
had to be
rebuilt. And that's the NFL in general. I don't think anybody has to rebuild. All the teams that have had stability at quarterback, they don't rebuild.
Well, then that's exactly my point. So I guess what I'm saying is you should be, once you have that foundational piece, then it is that you're trying to get to the Super Bowl every year, and you're trying to plug in the best pieces you can get each year to get you there, rather than kind of this bargain basement type of thing, the way the Patriots have been doing it.
But you know, I think
let's drop out of the first round, go to the second round, and pick up a few more players because, you know, well, the first round is 50-50 anyway, so if we get a few more bodies in, there's a better chance at least one of them will stick. You know, and it seems like that's the way they're doing it. And I'm like, you know, no, let's get the best players out there. Let's go after, you know, playmakers. And get to the Super Bowl, and just because we have Brady does not mean he's going to actually be available for the next 5 years. I mean, injury is a possibility. So while he's healthy right now, let's do something and get the ring.
All right. Now, I hear you, Darius. That's Darius. You know, I understand what he's saying, but I just think that, you know, it's not rebuilding, you know, what teams, most teams do.
No.
You know, they've turned over
88% of their
roster.
There's
a couple of teams every year, but I think the NFL, and this is something that we've argued, you and I, Fred, a lot. I think it's very overblown. I think it's so easy to acquire players now mm-hmm. that I don't think you have to ever rebuild. I mean, there's very few teams each year that are forced to rebuild. Like, the Colts aren't rebuilding right now. Their quarterback got hurt and he's missed the season.
They're sucking for lucking.
You know, there's, every year there's two or three teams, like, you know, who did Seattle.
I
just forgot the team that you just mentioned.
You really are old.
Like Seattle. That they just, they have to, they flip the whole roster and they do it all
Grandpa.
At once. Everybody's got a shot. You know, you can stay competitive as long as you have a quarterback.
And you're smart about it. I mean, there's some
as long
teams
as you have
that
a quarterback,
have constantly had high draft picks. And they just can't win, you know.
But if they had quarterbacks, they would.
Well, I think Philip Rivers is pretty good,
and they win.
But they haven't won the Super Bowl.
Well, only one team can win the Super Bowl every year.
But I mean, I think fans want to win that Super Bowl.
Well, they do, but
I don't think San Diego's been stupid.
That doesn't mean they're not, quote, loaded for talent, as Rex Ryan believes when he would have won a couple rings.
Higgins and Hopkinson says, "I know this has been beaten to death yesterday, but Higgins. I find it hard to imagine letting Welker go. I've seen him work in practice, and that guy worked harder than almost anyone I've seen out there. He's got qualities that are hard to teach. I would be seriously
Ross Ventrone $50 million, too.
I would be seriously disappointed if we let Welker go. I was okay letting Seymour go. I was okay letting Asante go. But I would not be okay losing Welker or Mayo, two hardworking playmakers that deserve to be kept in Patriots Nation."
You really were okay letting Samuel go? I find that hard to believe.
I wasn't.
I was.
You weren't at the time
because he
and
dropped
you will
that pass
be when they let Welker
because
go.
He dropped that pass.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Is that why?
Oh, yeah.
No, he was mad right up until the day he signed with Philadelphia. He was really mad that they weren't re-signing him. Then he signed with someone else. And
that's true.
Bad news for Jerome Harrison. It's found that he has a brain tumor.
Oh.
Jay Harrison.
Yeah, but Schefter just tweeted that without the trade, they probably never would have found it because he had to get a physical.
And that's
so
when
the trade
it.
Might have saved his life because he had to get the physical.
I mean, shouldn't they have found this like when he got to training camp? Don't they do physicals for that?
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe
is there a chance it's something that wasn't there?
Yeah.
Well, that's, that's a quick, small,
they didn't detect it or whatever.
Going to, you can succeed after brain tumors.
Robert Quinn.
Tony writes in, what evidence is there that Brady has any influence over the coach's personnel decisions? It drives me nuts to hear the talking heads on the radio say, well, Brady wants this or Brady doesn't want that, and simply assuming that Belichick takes that into consideration.
2006 is the evidence.
And now I hear you guys doing it. Well, defend your position. Does Belichick give a hoot what Brady wants?
2006 was the evidence. He cried all year. They got rid of Branch. He cried all year. He didn't have
the window closed then too.
Everybody knew that. They had no wide receivers that year. It was all him that got them to the AFC title game that year. And the next year,
looking for the tier thing, by the way, for 5 minutes.
What did they do? They went out and got every receiver they could find who was of any value. That's the evidence that he has some sway over what happened.
Is it overblown? Yes. I think people feel like in the talking heads, as the emailer put it. Like Bill's in on, you know, in the draft room and he's deciding what they're doing and Bill has an equal say in every free agent. No, it's not, Brady doesn't have that kind of power.
No.
But it's a little naive to think that Bill doesn't talk to Tom specifically when it comes to offensive players and wide receivers.
Right.
You know, what do you know about this guy? What kind of,
what kind of potential do you think he has in this system?
Do you think he has the mental capacity? Do you know him at all? Mm-hmm.
Look.
It's naive to think that Bill's not talking to Tom Brady about stuff like that.
Didn't we hear that Brady kind of lobbied to get Branch back? Mm-hmm. We heard that. And also with guys that are here, didn't we hear that Brady was the guy that kind of
was unhappy with Moss, to keep Moss.
So,
yes.
You know, now that's not a personnel decision per
He's
se.
He's not making the choice.
Yeah, but that's beyond a usual role of a quarterback.
We've also heard, you know, that Taylor Price wasn't invited to the West Coast to work out with Welker and Brady and those guys in the offseason, so you could lend you to believe he's not getting reps. He's not getting rotated in because Brady doesn't like him, isn't comfortable with him on the field. And that's.
And Eric's example of 06 is dead on.
Aaron writes in, fellas and Lindsay and Eric, this isn't even a discussion. You let Welker go and you replace him. There are free agent wide receivers out there. I didn't see that second part of that sentence. there are free agent wide receivers out there and have tons of confidence in the Chad Johnsons, Torrey Holtz, Greg Lewis's, and Joey Galloway's coming in here and producing. And we can continue to draft the Jacksons, Tates, Edelmans, and Prices to fill the gaps. I have no worries in this area as the offense seems pretty basic. The fact is, you just don't need
basic.
I don't understand why you can't just do what you did with Welker.
Listen to me.
Go get a restricted free agent Jag receiver who becomes an All Pro.
I'm gonna give this away because you guys are impatient. Oh, okay. But this is sarcastic, Aaron.
Yes. No, I know that.
So listen to the
Paul knows it when it's not directed at him.
Yeah. No. I
he knows sarcasm. Directed at him, he's ready to fight. You want to go? You want to go, Aaron?
Andy, you're having a great show. But that's exactly
no,
right.
No, but I said, you know, it's pretty basic. And it's not basic.
Eric said that.
I know. So let him finish.
All right.
All right.
All right.
The fact is, you just don't need talented guys who completely understand the system to win. We need to go no further than our own team to see this has worked. Asante was sent packing, and the secondary is as great as ever. Seymour got traded, and the pass rush hasn't missed a step. What's more, we got to pick up Matt Leitch's replacement with that deal. Sure, we had already replaced him once with Vollmer, but if one is good, two is gooder. I say toss Welker to the waiver wire and bring in any Jag Jaggerson to fill his role. And while we're at it, I think that Wilfork guy has gotten a little too comfortable here. Time to move on from those older, higher-priced game changers. And that's sarcastic Aaron.
Brilliant! Brilliant!
Andy's exactly right. Sarcastic Aaron's much better when I am not the target.
For what it's worth, I wasn't on board with re-signing Wilfork, really.
Certainly not for the amount of money that we did. But I was happy they did.
I was on the Peppers bandwagon. Let Wilfork go get Peppers.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline.
With Eric, by the way.
Mark is in Fall River. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Better than you. You're in Fall River.
Hello.
That's a little Salt Coast humor there.
That is.
You'd be better if you were in Dartmouth. That's where the cool people live.
Oh yeah, I'll find my way through the woods and all the farms and everything out.
Well, that's what Andy likes. He doesn't have to talk to people.
Make sure you swim through the dead bodies in your local swimming pool.
Oh,
wow, too soon.
Anyways, sorry to take the focus off of Wes Welker, but I really was interested in your guys' opinion on this question I've had all week about the final drive on this past Sunday's game. It seems like everybody was talking about the bad play calling by the Cowboys, which I agree with, but everybody that I heard said, you give Tom Brady the ball with 2.5 minutes left and the game is over. Now, I love Brady as much as the next guy, but am I wrong to... I was a little nervous. Everybody seemed like it was a foregone conclusion that they were going to win that game.
It was.
I think that's a good question.
I felt that way.
When was the last time that Brady engineered a drive like that with less than 2 minutes?
When was the last time he didn't?
Super Bowl.
So you got to go back 4 years.
And I thought he was going to then, and he only had like 30 seconds.
And he had 30 seconds and no timeouts.
And I was
one timeout.
Wow, this is going
to
be a great
I understand.
I actually thought the driveway through the touchdown to Moss was the drive that ended the game.
I'm not saying.
That's exactly how I felt. He even did it that day.
Right. Paul, I'm not saying that he has had the chance to and he didn't do it. I'm saying, like, when is honestly the last? Because they're always up usually, you know?
Well,
like,
yeah, but well, last year against Baltimore, he did it to tie the game and send it to overtime. My point, though, and I understand what Mark is saying. You don't just automatically assume, oh, well, we're down 3 with the ball at 2.5 minutes left. We won this one.
But the guy's done it 32 times or however many.
All of a sudden a string of examples where he's failed at it,
right?
Then I would sit there and wonder, well, geez, maybe he just doesn't have it anymore. You know, maybe. And in 09, there were a couple of chances that he had to do it that he failed.
The Broncos was the one that comes to mind.
The Broncos game, the Miami game down there. Yep. There were a couple of examples of games, but for the most part, to me, when Tom Brady has a sufficient amount of time, he's probably going
to
get it done.
And he also shook off that look that he almost started to get that Brady look with the sunken head and the shoulders.
Fourth and two comes up. That comes to mind. You know, that was a game-ending drive.
They were winning.
Yeah, they were winning that game.
But
he needed a
first down, and he couldn't get it.
Well,
you know?
Plus, if
Falk had caught it, he would have got the first down.
And that's a different thing,
but
too.
But I think these are all the things that come into your subconscious.
But I'm not saying he's infallible, that he gets a first down every time he steps on the field.
And that's all Mark's saying.
But I think in game-winning situations, he's pretty damn close to infallible.
I agree with you. I think he's phenomenal. I guess I just, it seemed like from all the talking heads, that this was a foregone conclusion to even play the play.
Well, it was, and I'll give you the exact example Fred just brought up, 4th and 2. That's certainly how Bill Belichick thought about Peyton Manning. That's why he didn't punt him the ball.
Right.
Because it was a foregone conclusion.
Right.
You lose.
I thought that
day. He drives the length of the field,
and
you
right.
lose.
And he was right.
Well, we don't know if he was right.
He only had to drive the ball to 20 yards.
Yeah. Well, if he gave the ball to Manning, they would lose.
There was probably a good chance that what you saw happen Sunday would have happened that day.
Right.
Colts would have gone 80 to win instead
All right, Mark,
of 20.
Put your cell phone away before somebody pulls up beside you and shoots you for it.
Oh, boy. All right, Mark, thanks for the call. Mark at Fall River.
That catty little South Coast stuff has really got to go. It's not becoming.
Joel in Merrimack says...
swim through the bodies in the pool.
He says, what the heff is going on there? Born free? Can we please get back to Fred and Paul arguing about some inane football lore? Lindsay is very cute. But if I have to hear her use the word like as a noun, verb, adverb, adjective, I think I might go crazy.
Stop saying like, Lindsay.
Hey, everyone.
And now
like.
We have Enrique on the show.
Like. Hello, like everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Wait,
what's
I didn't get the Born Free reference.
Hello, that's like a movie about lions.
Born Free. Oh.
You never heard of Born
Sorry.
Free?
No.
Brooklyn
free
Matt.
As the
Where are you?
Brooklyn
Road.
Matt. Born come identity. On, come to Andy's aid.
Born Free was a type of baby bottle.
It might
shows
be,
where
but
I am in my life right now.
I missed the end.
No, stay free is what you need to use.
Ladies and gentlemen, Fred Kirsch. That was
your best one.
Is this the part of the show where you say, it's been an hour and 20 minutes, we haven't taken a break yet.
I just backwashed it to my
Why don't you take a break?
Joel goes on, and now we have Eric back on the show.
Oh. Eric.
Eric, doesn't he have some interview or someone to get coffee for? Sorry if I sound harsh, but the Fab Five is not working.
Oh,
wow.
It's my fault. I'll take the blame.
No.
I'd get rid of Eric before you.
Joe says he was listening to Vince Wilfork on Gresh and Zoe this morning, and they asked him if the defense was hurting from lack of OTAs, and Vince said definitely. They surmise that defenses in general were behind the curve because of the lack of practices and OTAs, and this discussion led to the possibility that this is what is affecting McCourty. What do you guys think? They also kind of blame the safeties for his problems as well. Keep up the great work on the show.
Wait, who's they?
I'm assuming Gresham Zoe. Okay.
I was just making sure Wilfork wasn't blaming the safeties.
I think if there's one position, if you're talented, that it wouldn't affect you was cornerback.
Theoretically.
Because it's so much instinct.
Theoretically.
I think that he's gotten beaten enough that you can't really... What?
What?
I thought you were going on something.
Did I make a face?
Yeah. I think that he's let up enough plays that it can't all just be tied to the safeties. I think the safeties have been an issue in the secondary.
Sure.
They've had a revolving door at that spot next to Chung. That can't be a good thing. But it's I think there have been a lot of times where he's in coverage on his guy, and he's getting beaten, or he's missing a tackle, or he's not in position to make a play on the ball the way he was last year. That's not all about safeties,
yeah.
And it's probably not all about OTAs either.
I'm wondering if he's playing less on instinct than he did last year. And if he's trying to overthink too much about where, Bruschi had a great example when we were at the golf tournament this summer, Andy, and he was asked about Ty Law, and he told the story about Ty Law and how great a player was Ty Law. And he said, I used to be in the huddle trying to call the signals, and I'd look around and I'd say, where's Ty? And then we'd break the huddle and he'd be over there and he'd yell out, Brew, are we man or zone?
That's all he needed to know. Right.
And it seems like last year, McCourty was playing more that type of style where he was just out there going on instinct. And this year, I think he's thinking too much about the play call and what they have to do. And I don't know. Maybe that has something to do with it. But
speaking of Ty Law, I'll be at a function with him tonight. The Gridiron Club of Boston's honoring Ty Law.
Wow.
So I'll be up there.
Why will you be there? Representing the organization?
Along with Robert Kraft.
Is that why you're dressed
Robert
up today?
Robert Kraft will be there as well.
Well, thank you, Robert.
So he'll be representing the organization.
Well, you're dressed up today, though, Fred. I assume that's why.
The larger point, though, about those OTAs... I think is
the defense in general. Sure.
Yeah, well, I thought
Bill
it was going to be
that. Bill said that in July when the lockout was happening. We've already reached the point where I'm not going to be able to install what I'd want to install in every year.
Right.
He then went on to switch to the 4-3 because he couldn't teach everybody the 3-4. I mean, it's pretty clear that his defense and his plans for his defense were greatly affected by the lockout and the lack of an offseason. Some of it's affected by the fact they can't tackle.
I thought it was going to be the opposite. I thought the offense might be a little bit sluggish early on because of the lack of execution, lack of the timing.
Right.
But we've seen it throughout the league. It's not just in New England. And throughout the league, the offense is really controlled the first month of the season.
It just goes to show how defenses have become more complex in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're much more exotic. And I forget what quarterback was talking about that. How defenses are much, much more different these days than they used to be. So,
and personnel groupings, I think you've seen a lot of trouble with teams getting the right packages on the field.
You think they're more complicated than they need to be?
Oh, yeah.
I get that impression.
It's an arms race, and,
there's too much trying to match what the offense is doing, and not enough just send your best guys out there.
A lot of specialization, like Paul said, groupings that have to be just right. And like Bill said, I'd rather have everybody wrong on the same page than half the people, on different pages, because that's when you really screw up, is when. Mm. John writes in, not to continue to harp on the Dallas game, but did you see the Inside the NFL where they showed the coach's tape of Dez Bryant isolated one-on-one down near the Patriots' goal line for the purpose of analyzing it as a lost opportunity when Romo didn't take the shot? The very next scene was the NFL Films camera catching a conversation on the sideline, which I believe a coach asking Romo if he saw Dez isolated. Romo's response was simply, I didn't want to turn the ball over.
Really?
It's a problem.
That kind of tells you everything you need to know.
It's a problem because I thought both of those red zone stops were at least partially responsible for the fact that they never threw the ball into the end zone.
Wow. So you have a quarterback who doesn't want to turn the ball over. Mm. You have a coach
who doesn't want
his quarterback to throw the ball over.
Yeah.
Coach.
Sounds like you're playing not to lose rather than to win.
Yeah. And when you do that,
you lose.
All right.
Which is another reason why I felt, to answer, I think it was Mark earlier, yes, I felt it was a foregone conclusion that anytime a team does what Dallas did on those three plays, I'll bet you the overwhelming percentage is that team loses.
Si, senor.
Brian in Seattle, I rely on you guys to be the voice of reason in Patriots Nation, shutting down the overenthused callers who are blinded by a few good plays. But you let me down on Spikes. You guys jumped on his bandwagon faster than Eric sniffs out a four-pack of wine coolers.
He had a good game.
I don't drink wine.
You can't be blind to the facts. If the facts tell you he had a good game, he had a good game.
I'm not on his bandwagon. I endorse what Andy said, but
you know, I don't find
got to do that a few more times before I'm on his bandwagon.
I don't find it a mere coincidence that the week before, Paul and I said he sucked. A day later, Greg Bedard said, just finished watching the film. Three worst players on the field included Brandon Spikes. And then this week, Paul and I say, Brandon Spikes was phenomenal. And a day later, Greg Bedard writes, just finished watching the film. And number one star of the game for the Patriots, Brandon Spikes. When you watch the game and see what happens, you're just making an assessment. In between,
Bill Belichick had a very lukewarm endorsement of Spikes.
Lawrence Maroney of the defense. He runs up to the line, shuffles his feet, and then guesses a hole.
That might be true.
Sometimes he will look great, like in the second half on Sunday, and other times he looks awful, like the first half on Sunday. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a hater. I want him to be good and make disruptive plays, but I think everyone needs to settle down a bit and wait to see if he can do this consistently. The other question.
I'm not hearing this outcry that he's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
He had his best game on Sunday.
He had a good game.
That's fact.
Yeah, he had a good game.
I think everyone would have settled down if the Cowboys would have scored a touchdown on that third and goal when he made the stop.
But that would have settled everybody down.
I haven't heard this.
We're set at linebacker because Spikes is the next all pro. He had a good game on Sunday.
I still don't like his the larger part of his game, to be honest with you. I thought he played well on Sunday, and if he can do that more often, I'll say, all right, I see what he does now.
The Maroney comparison is dead on. Maroney had some great games where we were like, ooh, this guy's good.
Mm. Right, he had flashes.
And then he never lived up to it with any consistency.
Yeah, that's true.
Everybody has talent in the NFL. It's about what you do consistently.
One other question. In the Dallas game, Tashard
Not just big. He plays big.
Fred knows where he's biggest.
One other question. In the Dallas game, Tashard Choice.
I thought you meant the shoulders,
no,
like Fred.
I'm sorry, Brian, in Seattle. I'm really sorry. I just won't be able to finish your email. They're not going to let me. They're just not going to let me do it.
Because he's busy searching for Brett Favre's junk on the internet.
The other question in the Dallas game, Tashard Choice took a swing pass from Romo, and Arrington had him lined up. Choice clearly lowered the crown of his helmet and used it like a weapon directly to Arrington's face. If a defender did that, it's a 15-yard penalty and fine. Does the rule clearly state that using the crown of the helmet is only a defensive penalty, or could that have been applied to Choice? It was brutal. I don't know how Arrington kept all of his teeth.
He had
tell
his
them
bell
your
ring.
Did you tell your story the other day?
I chatted with Arrington and Chung about it in the postgame locker room, and I said something about the play. He goes, oh, the one on Choice? I said, well, when's an offensive guy going to get fined for one of those helmet-to-helmet? He initiated it, and Chung immediately goes, never, never. He yells at him, like, with anger because, you know, he's been fined a couple times.
You're absolutely right.
Did you follow up with him this week, by the way? I've never seen an offensive player get called for that. No, but I don't know if the wording, I actually don't know if the wording is specifically, if there's any wording that just says defense.
You wouldn't think it would be, right?
Well, you would in this league because all they care about is the offensive players in fantasy football.
We'll go to Brooklyn, Matt, before we take a break, and then head over to around the NFL.
Lions, you're smart, I'm not.
Jack and Ape. Andy, first of all, Born Free is a 1966 British movie about lions, which everybody already knows about. Secondly,
have you seen it, Lindsay?
No.
Have you heard of it?
No.
Thank you. So not everybody. Two of the five people in this room, and the only two that still have all their hair.
Yeah.
Oh, you had.
Oh, yeah.
Of course he has. Secondly, even if he hadn't, he wouldn't admit it.
Well, it's not like this.
That's incorrect.
You know. Intellectual movie.
It's a British film from the 60s. I mean,
it was pretty popular.
But it's a pretty iconic film when it comes
maybe
to animals.
Maybe if you grew up in the 60s, 70s, or 80s, LC the lion.
Yeah,
yeah,
I think so.
Secondly, sounds like it's better to live in Fall River than in Dartmouth. Hey, at least in Fall River, they have dead bodies in their public swimming pool as opposed to absolutely nothing going on in Dartmouth. Anyway,
they just have a bunch of a-holes.
Good show today. Know why? Because Eric is there. He's the straw that stirs the drink for you dinks.
No, it's
because
Lindsay's
As for
here.
Lindsay, I don't know. Kind of bland for my taste. Uh-oh.
Wait, who, me?
Yeah.
Like,
well.
Wait, who, me?
She sounds like she's dumb enough to be of your taste. Not that you are, just you sounded like a bit.
He just rattles up.
No!
That was a Rex Ryan right there.
Really?
You have permission to hit him, Lindsay.
No, I'm good.
All right.
Well, all right.
Let's take a break. We got a lot of emails we didn't get to. But John Rook will be here, right, Matt?
Is the show over?
We have to go around the NFL. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to reset. We'll be right back.
If you didn't know AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Whoa, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
We all know that Andy is the bully of PFW in progress. He can dish it out, but can he take it?
I'm trying to read the email. Guy's pulling an all-nighter so that he can email during the show, and Andy's disrespectful.
No, that's not my fault. It's you.
That's your fault.
You're the one who picks and chooses the emails.
That's your fault.
Shut up.
Typical Big Head. He's never wrong, and nothing's ever his fault.
You're the one who chooses
that's
the
not
email.
My fault. It's not my fault that I'm talking about. You're talking.
Don't have a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
Leave it to Fred to put Andy in his place.
When someone's talking, you have to shut up.
Now, back to PFW in progress.
He's going to kill him.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. It's Thursday, and it's our last segment, although we only really had two segments. He had one really long segment, yeah. Now this one.
Right.
But it's we're going to go around the NFL.
You're the host.
Like we
it's
do.
Like he's complaining.
I know.
Like, somebody's screwing up
at
the
us.
Timing
right.
of the show.
Paul, before we do that, what happened last week?
Big week for Eric, Freddie. 11-2.
Wow.
For Eric, and the rest of us went 9-4.
Oh, it was an easy
that's
week,
not
obviously.
A, that's not a bad week for you guys.
With the spread.
It's a great week for me.
With yeah, the spread, 10-3 for Eric.
10-3.
Andy and I went 7-6, and Fred was 5-8.
Ooh, wow. We're gonna make up some ground on you,
so,
there, big guy.
Yeah. Eric was clearly the winner.
Yeah,
all around
clearly
by two games.
Easy week.
by two. No, he's was clearly ahead of us.
Yeah, but it was
unfortunately, he now has the lead in both categories: 65 and 25, followed by me, 63 and 27, Fred, 62 and 28, and Andy, 57 and 33.
I'm five. I almost said it. Games out of last
third place. Third place. You got it. With the spread, Eric, 47, 40 and 3, Freddie, 44, 43 and 3. I am 42, 45 and 3, and Andy, 38, 49 and 3.
First time Eric ever knew what to do with the spread.
Do you want to talk about your new thing that you're working on?
I do.
Yeah. Why don't we do that?
When does he ever not want to talk about himself?
That's a good point. Did you know that causes depression?
Talking about yourself?
Supposedly, positive like self-reinforcement causes depression. No wonder why you talk about yourself all the time.
It was a tweet. It was hard to get all the research in the 140 characters. It was a tweet.
Next week on somewhere, either Patriots.com or the PFW blog, we will debut the Patriots Football Weekly Hart-Wilson formula for the power rankings across the NFL. It's a stat-based proprietary formula which was consulted upon with some of the great minds to ever work in the game of football.
That's true.
Yes. Not lying, not doing my usual...
Not hyperbolizing.
Yeah, blow it up and pretend we're more important than we are. This is real. I had some good input on this. And next week, we will debut a power ranking system, not based on, oh, Fred voted for the Packers.
Right.
This is totally based on numbers, statistics, and what some of the great minds in football believes are the best statistics to correlate to winning. And to cross-promote said power ranking, from now on during picks, I am going to use the power rankings and just pick the higher-ranked team in matchups.
This is his way of giving up.
Not giving up.
Fred, you know,
absolutely.
It's also known as the excuse why I couldn't put on a second-half run and come back. You know, I went with the,
right.
I went with
we
the
just
numbers.
Touched on some of these psychological issues. Well, another one that's very common is when you
have
fail to do
penis.
Well in a certain endeavor.
Right.
You pretend it's not important
right.
to you.
Right.
Oh, that's what Eric does.
And Andy is very
when
much.
When have I done that?
Very much on board
oh,
with that.
Of course.
If I put as much effort into the picks like you guys do, you know, if I cared one way or the other.
No. That's not true. What do I say?
That's code for being 11 games out of third place.
If I watched games and knew who won week to week, I'd be better in the picks.
We don't watch games and do it.
We do the same thing you do, dummy.
Suddenly, I'm not with him for every game.
I know. No, you guys always come in on Tuesday and are like, did you see the this and that? And I'm like, no.
It's called SportsCenter. You watch the highlights.
I watch my kids play on Monday.
Oh, you don't watch the Monday night game?
If you were ahead
rarely.
By even.
You tell me all the time about stupid things Gruden says.
First quarter of the Monday night game I watch every week.
I didn't see a single play of the Monday night game last week.
But you saw the highlights of the other 16. 13, whatever it was.
Andy, face it. If you were in the lead by at least one game, you'd be doing everything, including paying fortune tellers to help you out.
And the contest would then be relevant.
Right, right. All of a sudden, the effort level would go way up.
Excuses you're going to come up with.
Why don't you leave?
All right, anyway, let's start with this week's game. And it's a bye week, so teams have byes, including the Patriots. We'll start Sunday. Let's start with the 1 o'clock game, Sunday at 1. Washington at Carolina. Real barn burner.
Carolina by 2.5. John Beck starting for the Redskins.
I don't feel good about any of my picks.
This is what I'm talking. This is one of the a lot of bad games this
week.
Yeah,
I don't feel good at all.
Do I have to follow my chart when there's a change at quarterback?
Is it really going to take you a long time?
Here we go. Yes,
I
think you're working this out already. No, I just don't want to make the pick. I'm going to take the Washington Redskins to win this game because they are a bunch of spots higher than the Carolina Panthers.
Well, let's see how good you think.
Ranking system.
This will be interesting.
Okay, and what's the number?
2.5 they're getting.
Oh, okay. Come on, Beck!
I think...
Is she not picking?
Oh, that's right. You want to pick? You want to pick?
Okay,
yeah, go ahead.
Make it quick.
We have time.
Panthers.
Okay.
Panthers.
She likes Cam Newton.
I'm not recording her
I think Cam Newton has shown us something that I'm very surprised he has been able to do so this early in his career. And I think, you know, he's kept his team close against some good teams. This is not really a great team that they're playing. So I think he gets his first win as a pro.
If I was Andy and you said, Cam Newton has shown us something that I was a little surprised at. Were you in the locker room? But I'm not Andy, so I'm not going to say that.
Because Andy just said things that are funny, and that wouldn't be funny.
By not saying it, you just said it. Oh. So you just pulled an Andy again.
Who are you picking?
You butt bumper.
Panthers.
Okay. They do have a win, just so you know.
Who's on the phone in there?
Who'd they be?
He's taking not listening to us to a new level.
It's Robert Kraft.
I will.
Pull the damn plug!
Who'd they be?
I will take Washington.
I'm going to take Carolina to win this game. I was a little higher on Washington, but I think they're falling apart. So I'm going to take Carolina. All right, next game is also Sunday at 1, Seattle at Cleveland.
Cleveland by three.
Seattle at Cleveland. Okay, Cleveland is two spots ahead of Seattle in this ranking, but I was told by my advisors that if there was less than a three differential between the teams, take the home team. So I'll take the home team.
There you go.
I waffled on this pick for a little while, but I'm going to go with the road team. I don't know why. The Seahawks.
Really?
Yeah. You already said you're picking the Seahawks,
yeah,
right?
Cleveland's
at home.
Because Seattle beat the Giants.
That's what I was thinking.
Talking to the mic.
That knocked me out of my elimination
your
pool.
Your knockout pool?
Yeah. So I'm not betting.
So you're believing
in
Seattle
I'm not going against Seattle anymore.
All right. I'll take Seattle.
I would if I were you.
I take Cleveland. I'll go with the home team with two bad teams playing.
I'm going to go with Cleveland as well. The next game is Sunday at 1. My screen is refreshing. Atlanta at Detroit.
Detroit by 3.5.
Detroit's an easy one to take based on my power rankings because as of right now, they're pretty high. Hey, we haven't released them yet.
I didn't say what number.
You sound like
I said they're the number.
I'll take Detroit to win big because
they're number three. I ruined everything.
Who does number two?
I don't really know.
Who are you going with?
Detroit.
Okay, yeah, I'm going with the Lions, too. I feel a little less optimistic now that their backfield is taking a pretty big hit there. They're a little bit more one-dimensional now.
Who'd they just pick up?
Ronnie Brown.
No, they didn't. That trade didn't go through.
Oh, that's right.
They worked out a bunch of guys, though, yesterday, a bunch of running back jags.
I'm still going to go with the Lions, but I'm not feeling as comfortable. Besides, the Falcons have been screwing me all year, so the hell with them.
Let's hope they don't shoot the Lions because they think
I will take the Lions as well. A little leery of that extra half point, but I will lay the points.
What's the number?
3.5.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Detroit. Detroit straight up. All right, Sunday at 1. Here is one of the games I'm interested in. Denver at Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Only because I want to see how Tim Tebow does.
Dolphins by 2.
Miami's so horrible.
Yeah, I am going to take the Dolphins because they're at home, right? And there's less than a three-team differential between two of the bottom three teams in my power rankings, so I'll take Miami, even though they're in last place in my power rankings, by a significant margin.
Tebow lucks out.
So you're not going to do what your thing is.
I'm taking the home team.
He's doing what he's supposed to do.
There's only one spot between them, and I was told by my statistical analysts.
And he actually has a blank piece of paper in front of him right now for anyone listening.
Who are you going with, Patrons?
Color-coded. It's got all teams' numbers.
Broncos or Dolphins?
I'll go with Timmy Tebow.
I'm going with Tebow, too. He's going to have a big game. It's a perfect team to go against because they're horrible. So he's going to have a good game, and the Broncos are going to win.
Worst defense in football.
Their defense sucks.
That worse than the Patriots?
I'm sorry. You are correct. They are 31st.
I can tell you based on anything.
I believe they are 31st pass defense, according to ESPN.Boston.com. Making fun of their cornerbacks who declared themselves the best tandem in football.
And Cameron Wake.
31st pass
remember
defense.
That performance that Nate Solder had that was good against Wake? Yeah. He hasn't been very good.
Doesn't look that great
I don't
anymore.
Know if it's just because he's the only guy on the front and everybody's stopping him, or he's not the guy that had 14.5 sacks last year.
Despite all that, I will take Miami to get their first win just because I don't think they're going to go 0-16. They have to win somewhere. Two bad teams.
Plus, you hate Tebow.
Paul makes fun of me.
Two bad teams. I think that they'll win at home. If this game were in Denver, I'd be taking Denver.
This is an emotional pick, and you know it.
They're favored by 2. I'm going with the favorite.
They're honoring Tebow before the game as well.
Yeah,
not
terrible.
Directly Tebow, but the
I actually think that Obama should honor Tebow just for having graced us in the United States with his presence.
The Pope should honor him. He should saint him.
That's a good point.
He's not Catholic.
Yes, he is.
No, he's a Christian.
Oh. He's not Catholic.
Right? Isn't he a born again?
I don't think he's Catholic.
I think he's Catholic.
Well, he's a saint. He's a Christian.
God's gift to the earth.
Right. I'm going to go with Tim Tebow. Tebow wins. Tebow
that's,
power.
That's what I hate. I'm going with Tebow. You're going with the Denver Broncos. He's not bigger than anyone.
If it was John Elway, I'd say I'm going with John Elway.
To be honest with you.
If he was John Elway, he'd be talented and good.
But that's one of the reasons why I'm taking the other team, is I think Miami is a better team than Denver. But you'll make it all about Tebow. I know what you'll do.
You're damn right. If they win, it's all about Tebow.
If you don't realize
how do you know? How's it not Von Miller? Oh, best defensive rookie.
He's really stupid.
All right. Then
you guys stop having side conversations.
Yeah,
this is radio.
Alden Smith, by the way, 5.5 sacks.
Miller have 5?
I don't care. He's not on a good team.
We got to hurry.
San Diego at the Jets.
San Diego by 2 on the road.
Get the music ready, Matt.
San Diego by 2 in New York. San
Diego, how can you not pick them with that song?
Huh?
Well, because my sheet tells me I can't pick them because the Jets are higher in the rankings and at home.
So that's what you're going
to
do?
So by all accounts, I'm taking the Jets to win.
All right.
Take the Jets.
Are you? Really?
Yeah.
All right. We have to diverge. I'm going with the... Matt?
You guys worked this out before?
No. We just did it now. I'm going with the more talented team. I think the Jets are still in the midst of this swoon that they're going through, and I think the Chargers are going to lay the wood to them.
Chris Jenkins called the Jets locker room caddy.
I think that's accurate.
I
am going to take the Chargers, although this is a battle to me of two of the more underachieving teams. I think there's some talent on both sides, and they haven't really played up to it yet. But I will take the Chargers.
The Chargers are like that every season.
Not feel good about it.
Right?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Chargers
especially.
As well. I'm going to love it after the Jets lose another one. Fall back below 500.
Freddie picking with his heart again.
I'm actually thinking it's okay for him to do that. I actually think San Diego's going to win, but
it'll make you feel better.
Yeah,
though.
This week I'd pick against the Jets pretty much no matter who they played, except Miami. Chicago at Tampa Bay, Sunday, 1 o'clock.
Game is actually in London.
That's the London game.
I just told you that this morning. Tampa's staying at a resort. An hour outside
I didn't realize
of
that
London.
Was this week, though.
You see that?
I wouldn't have liked that.
They're an hour outside of London at some resort. It's supposedly beautiful.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for our purposes, you wouldn't have got to see London.
No, that's no fun.
London, baby.
Are they playing?
I heard the British government is asking for a permanent NFL team.
I vote for the Patriots.
Chicago by one.
Then there won't be the Patriots anymore.
Why not? The Patriots were British citizens at the time. That's the team that everybody in the UK loves.
So you want to go cover the Patriots full time in London?
No, once a year, he said. One game a year.
No, I think they're asking for a team.
They want one game a year.
Oh, that same team. Oh, okay.
They want new discussion is one team will have a permanent home game in London.
And I vote for us.
I'll second that.
Yes, thank you.
I'll second that.
Brett Dunn.
Are we going to continue this thing?
I don't want to do it like that.
I wouldn't do it like that. We're not going to Germany.
People don't know what that is.
Are we continuing the Patriots pregame social?
Last time Hank
Williams. Yeah, you guys stay here.
I'm all for that.
Brett and I. Lindsay, have you ever been to London?
No.
Did you want to go?
We'd have to do the pregame social from London.
Oh! This side conversation was good. He asked her on a date in London, and she said, not with you.
Ew.
Wow.
What?
Chicago by one.
Chicago, I think Brandon Merriweather is going to single-handedly shut down Tampa Bay.
Oh, God. Big Bang Cloud.
I'm going to go with... I don't really like the Buccaneers.
Oh, my gosh. Big Bang Cloud's going to be in London.
Yeah, again. That's right.
Nothing gets by you.
I didn't get your pick. I'm sorry. The Bears.
I'm going to go with the slightly more talented team, which is the Buccaneers. Even though I'm not really a fan of that team overall, I think they are going to win this game.
I will take Tampa as well.
I'm going to take Chicago to win this game.
You're right, Fred.
The
sheet never lies.
Yeah, you have Andy back. And he's only 11 games behind third place.
True. No. I never made picks with this before.
Right.
The final game at 1 o'clock.
This is my version of Carmen. What should I call it? Yeah, the Red Sox had Carmen. We should name this.
This is the final
game. Brooklyn Decker.
This game actually starts at 1:06. That's why I'm calling it the final game on Sunday.
Why does it start at 1:06?
I'm only kidding. They all start the same
thing. He thought he was going to get me to say, what are you talking about, Fred?
Well, I didn't know if legitimately like another person died and they were doing like an extended pregame.
Tennessee by three.
Wait, we're going to have a moment of silence for the animals.
The Lions should do that. All the animals, the Lions, the Bears, all the animal teams.
Oh my!
Yeah,
so bad I upset
the Bengals.
Olivia,
certainly
or
from
whatever his name
from
is.
Ohio.
Olivier. He's French.
Oh. Houston at Tennessee. Houston at Tennessee.
Tennessee by three.
Houston will.
Andre Johnson's got a shot.
Oh,
evidently. Houston.
No, does he really?
So you're saying
according to Gary Kubiak.
Now I know Fred feels like Houston will win this game.
Okay.
Tennessee.
You going with the Hasselbacks?
Yeah.
See, one thing your little sheet doesn't take into consideration is recent
improvement. Over the short term.
Right.
Quarterback changes, injuries.
Right.
This is a long-term formula.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, this is a marathon, not a sprint, this pick's
okay.
Contest.
Yeah, the Titans have surprised me a little bit, but I'm going to, even though they've had the injuries, I'm going to go with the Texans. I think they are the better team, and I think they, you know, they dropped a tough one to Baltimore last week. They're going to bounce back this year.
Top 10 team. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. I will take Houston as well.
I think Houston's a little bit snake-bitten. I'm going to go with Tennessee. They've shown just enough this year to say that they can win this game. All right, let's go to 4 o'clock.
Okay.
And we'll start with Pittsburgh at Arizona. Another layup for the stupid Steelers.
Pittsburgh by 3.5.
So are they going to just play like really bad teams this year, Pittsburgh?
Yes. Until the wind comes down
next weekend.
Right, we're going to give them a wake-up call.
You almost swore there.
He almost did it.
You almost swore.
We're going to go get them.
We're going to win.
Pittsburgh Steelers to win because they are ranked significantly higher.
I'll take the Steelers.
I will go with the Steelers,
yeah,
too.
There's a shock.
Better team. Much better team. Just got to go with them.
Yeah, I Pittsburgh is another in a long line of underachieving teams, but
so
I have to take them on this one.
They're really lucky that they've been playing bad teams, though.
They are.
Very sloppy.
And they've been barely beating
them.
No
offensive line. Yeah. It's been
last
brutal.
In the NFL in turnover differential.
It's been really
minus 10.
Yeah, this is the last week for Pittsburgh to their slide really starts after this week.
It's true.
But they get this win.
When Harrison comes back.
Kansas City at Oakland, 405 game.
Oakland. Oakland by four.
I like Oakland.
Here it is.
The Raiders.
Oh, Oakland will win this game. They are significantly higher in my stat-based power rankings.
Andy, that is so boring. Like, that's all you say now. It's
like,
so boring.
Like, I think Oakland like will win this like game because like the stats on my sheet say
honestly,
like take the Raiders.
Can you just make a recording and then say the team and then say because that's what my sheet says.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, like
welcome
everybody.
To Patriots today. I'm going to go
Toyota's.
With the Raiders no matter who starts a quarterback because I think the Chiefs are that bad. Yeah, normally
Carson
I would have been taking the Chiefs because I don't think Carson Palmer can slide right in. But my sheet told me to take
Paul.
Yeah, I'm going to take Oakland too. I think they got a little something going.
You do.
I do.
I'm gonna
I don't like the Carson Palmer trade on account of, you know, they won't
Palmer.
Have a draft pick for the next 5 years.
This is my upset of the week. Kansas City goes in and wins the game.
Oh.
Big pep talk. No way do they let a guy walk on the team like Carson Palmer and beat them. So they're going to go after him.
But don't you think there's a good chance Darren McFadden carries the ball like 30 times?
Maybe.
I really
and then gets 10
Carson
dump-offs.
Palmer throws it about 10.
Dump-offs to McFadden for
because
half of them.
Oakland always thinks they have something going. They're like, Jamarcus Russell, yeah.
I know, you're right,
I mean,
Lindsay.
I feel bad for them. Yeah. I do.
You don't feel bad for the Raiders.
All right.
Who's next?
Now, this next game starts at 4.
Yeah, I know you're right, Lindsay.
What? This game starts
screw
at 4:15. 4:15 start here.
Will you stop with the times of games?
St. Louis at Dallas.
Dallas by 12. Mm,
ooh, nice by bounce 12, back huh? game for Dallas.
St. Louis. I like St. Louis.
Why can't the Patriots play these
in the
teams?
Upset?
They just played
the
Dallas
upset,
last week.
I'm talking about the St. Louis's and the Jacksonville's and the Arizona's.
I really like Bradford a lot. A lot.
Even with the high ankle sprain?
Yeah, it's good. It's all good.
Who is your sheet going with, Andy?
Brooklyn Decker says that the Cowboys will win.
Paul?
You laying the points?
Oh, wait a minute. Lindsay's going to
what's
make
the
12.
I already did.
Yeah, sure I'll lay it. The points. There's a significant differential sure between it. The two teams
he's
in Brooklyn
not
Decker.
Writing mine down.
That's all right. I want to make sure people hear it.
Paul doesn't care about my picks.
Lindsay's going with the
well,
upset
it's just
here.
That I have a grid all set up and I don't have room for you.
Oh, that's very neat. I'm not offended.
He's anal. I'm going to take the Cowboys
okay,
to
Mr.
win.
Okay, Mr. Power Rankings, don't disclose. Wait,
this is for my
and,
job.
And Detroit is.
Guys?
No,
wait,
don't tell
win.
Anybody.
Fred,
don't
I'm bringing
but
I'll
take
the points.
I think the Rams will keep it just close enough.
If this has any credibility, it'll be good for us
you're
as a
you're
as an
still anal about it.
Yeah,
I'll take Dallas and I'll take the points as well.
Since when
yeah,
is
me
coming
too.
Up
I'll
with
take
ideas
Dallas.
And creating things bad, John Rook? When?
Jerry Jones criticized the play calling
he doesn't want
last
to do with you
week for being
thing.
Conservative. And even though he apologized for that, made Garrett look bad, they will open it up a little bit, partly because Romo's going to be feeling a little bit better. I'll take the point.
You lay the points or you take the
I'll
points?
Lay the points.
That's not what you said.
Dallas both ways is what you're
Dallas
saying.
Dallas both ways.
I'll, you know.
Fred does Dallas. Sunday 4:15, Green Bay at Minnesota.
Green Bay by 9.
Green Bay.
Ponder starting for the Vikings.
Green Bay does very well in Brooklyn Decker, the power rankings, and so they're significantly higher, so I'll take them to win and cover.
I think I'm going to go undefeated this week. Go ahead.
I almost want to take Minnesota just to be different.
So,
okay, so
you were
took Minnesota.
You were
different.
Pondering
oh,
taking Minnesota.
Oh, see what you did.
Yeah,
didn't really like
I see
it,
what you did there.
Was good. Huh?
Well, Peterson didn't he have like a horrible game last
Peterson.
Week. They had a horrible game last week.
They're
so
not a very good football team.
No. Well, yeah, but the week before Peterson had 3 touchdowns. So I don't know. Maybe
I
we'll
like the
Airheads.
So you're going out on the limb or no?
What do you got?
You're going out on the limb and picking the Vikings.
Minnesota, yeah. Wow. But I mean, see, Paul's not ready to get down, so I could really say whatever I want.
We'll remember.
But not all of them.
Packers both.
I won't. I won't remember any of them.
Yeah.
I'll take the Packers too.
I will as well.
Best team in football.
All right, now we go to now this week.
Don't give it away. Don't give it away.
This week we can go in sequence because the Patriots aren't playing. So we'll go to.
We won't skip over.
Right. Well, Sunday night, 8:20, Indianapolis at the Saints.
Now, how's NBC, by the way? Let's load up on the Colts early in the season. Bad move.
Right.
That gives us a better chance of being flexed out later in the season.
Fred and I came up with a scenario that we were a little concerned about.
What?
If Indianapolis decides to be really stupid and bring Peyton back.
And that's the night.
When's that game?
December 2nd or 4th or something like that.
Fred and I were talking about this today.
What if they just say, you know what? He's okay. Let's get him back out there. No. Give him a chance to knock off some rust. If that happens, that game will not get flexed out.
No, you're right.
Even if they're 0-11.
No, the return of Peyton Manning against Tom Brady should not be flexed out at all. Stop talking about it.
Anyway, New Orleans by 14.
New Orleans, which does not all that well in my power rankings, somewhat surprisingly. Brooklyn Decker has them a middle-of-the-pack team, but they are way higher than the Indianapolis Colts. Should I check with her if I'm allowed
14?
To call this Brooklyn Decker?
14?
Yeah, let's text her, Andy.
14, hi-ho.
No, I follow her on Twitter, so I can go back and forth with her.
Can ask her?
She follows me, too.
She doesn't follow you.
Yes, sir.
No, she doesn't.
We both like each other's tweets.
That doesn't mean you follow each other.
No, we fondle each other. He wasn't talking about that. Yeah.
Who are you going with, Lindsay?
Saints by a lot.
I'll take the Saints. And I'll take them to cover, Paul.
I will take the Saints, but I'll take the points.
Andy's been reasonably competitive. I'm with Paul.
Oh, wait, any concern with the head coach who may or may not have had an addiction?
No, my boy Petey will be calling the plays. Nothing to worry about.
Well, I'm also talking about a coach who may or may not have had an addiction previously to Vicodin.
Oh, that's a good point.
Going back on Vicodin.
Thanks, Tito. Well, are you taking the Saints or are you laying the points?
Brooklyn Decker took the Saints. I made
my pick
20 minutes.
Are you laying the points? It's 14.
Yeah.
Okay. Finally, we go to Monday, 8:30. John Rook is standing by. Baltimore at Jacksonville.
Baltimore by 7.5.
7.5.
Oh, yeah. There's a huge differential in the Brooklyn Decker rankings here, so I will take Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Yep. Baltimore, much better team. They're not going to do what the Steelers did last week and let the Jaguars climb back in it. Yep. Baltimore, big.
Definitely Baltimore to win. I will lay the points. And
wow.
I
don't sound happy.
Yeah. Well, I don't like giving more than a touchdown to the Ravens. They're just too inconsistent offensively.
But I also think that Ravens are probably slipping under the radar. They might be the best team in the AFC.
No.
Well,
there's no way. Not with Flacco. There's no way.
That's what holds them back.
There's
yeah.
No
that's what I'm
way.
Saying.
They're significantly in the Brooklyn Decker rankings, if it weren't for their passing game, they would be by far and away the elite team.
They throw for 350 one week and 150 the next.
Yeah. That hurts you.
That's not good.
All right, I'll take Baltimore, and I'll lay the points. All right, well, that's the picks. Right now, coming up is the Patriots Playbook with John Rook. I don't know if he's got any guests, but Matt's looking at
Russell
me. He doesn't
Baxter.
Know.
You know I don't speak Spanish.
Russell Baxter. In the,
Russell Baxter.
3 o'clock hour.
Okay, great. And then Pete Shepard will be in. Pete's getting married next week. So everybody that calls in the Pete Show or emails, make sure you congratulate Pete on getting married next week.
Finding a woman.
All right, as far as
next up, Eric.
We will see you next Tuesday. I won't stop now. Whoa. Keep your hands up, get them in the sky for the homies that ain't making it. My folks locked down. Whoa. I never went nowhere. Know what they say in loot is back. Blame it on that contour. The hood call it loot a yak. And I'm on this foolish track. So I spit my foolish flow. My hands go up and down like strippers. That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.